The week that was professional wrestling, the ladder to the money in the bank, we continue to climb. AEW Dynamite, NWA put out a new episode this week. Camille spoke. MLW still in Mexico. They're still killing it. And we have so much to talk about all next on the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. Hot micing it up again. The mean streets of West Orange. The mean streets of North Arlington. All next on the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast.
The following is a presentation of the Shining Wizards Network, broadcasting live on rantiumradio.com and available on all podcast platforms and at shiningwizards.com. Follow us on social media at Wizards Podcast. Get our merchandise at merch.shiningwizards.com. Shop at Amazon at amazon.shiningwizards.com. And become a patron at patreon.com/wizardspodcast. As always, we thank you for your continued support. And now, enjoy the show.
Hey, everybody. This is Sean Mooney. You may remember me from the Event Center, but now I like to spend my time with the Shining Wizards.
What's up, fuckers?
I have a small dick.
Whoa!
How dare you?
Go there!
Ladies and gentlemen, the Shining Wizards.
And what's up, everybody? It's the Shiny Wizards Wrestling Podcast on the Hot Mic at RantiumRadio.com.
What's up, everyone? Happy Monday. We're still under quarantine, but things are looking better. Am I wrong? Am I right? What's up, fuckers?
You got a lot of energy over there, big guy.
Oh, when you reminded me about Camille and you reminded me of how fucking awesome MLW in Mexico is, I couldn't help myself but get fired up.
Oh, baby.
In case you didn't know, we are the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast, where, of course, it's wrestling talk.
And talk about wrestling.
As you can see below, I'm Tony. It says it right there.
Wait, below.
Tony, there you go.
Below me.
Hey-o.
Hey!
Matt.
Yeah, thanks.
Kevin.
Oh, I thought you guys may have, like, passed out or something. So what's going on, boys? How was your week?
It was a week. It was no different than any other week. I missed Dynamite because I had to work. So the post Dynamite show was interesting. I had to have the D-Generation Y walk me through it. That's about it, really. Just surviving. I read a book. I read the Al Snow book.
So is he really an anti-Semite like everybody says he is?
Al Snow?
Yes.
No. What?
Where did you hear that?
Oh, I've heard that from quite a few people.
What did I tell you about those Facebook groups? You got to get out of them.
Oh, yeah. Believe me.
Wait. What stories are they citing that Al Snow is an anti-Semite?
Well, apparently, yeah. Apparently, he is. I don't know. I don't know the stories, but that's the word, the rumor.
Well, what are you bringing to the table here then, Tony?
Because he brought up Al Snow. I figured it's topical.
Yeah, but you don't have plain stories.
But what kind? There has to be a some meat on the bone here. You just can't say you heard he was an anti-Semite and then you give me nothing.
Yeah. He's not a truck.
I mean, what is it? Just there's got to be a reason.
Okay, here.
Like, all right, so we know, like, the Harris brothers. There's legit proof and legit, like, maybe not proof, but legit meat on the bone that they're Nazis.
I'd say an SS tattoo is. Legit proof.
Yeah, what does SS stand for anyway? What does that mean? Is that like a ship?
Sexy shitheads?
The SS Harris?
I don't know the answer to that. I just know it does not mean anything good.
Because I've always heard that. I've always heard SS. I just never knew what it meant.
It's definitely not a ship.
Okay, except for what it said, like, in front of like a Navy vessel.
Yeah, it's not. That's not the kind of SS.
Okay. So So what's the Al Snow stuff, Tony?
Well, let me talk. The most I can find right now is that David Bixenspan has mentioned it. I'm not sure if you know who he is, but he's a journalist who also covers pro wrestling. And
I know who he is.
Well, I do tend to take his stuff a little more seriously than you take Mike Johnson's, but finding any articles here. I've tried Al Snow hates Jews. I've tried Al Snow anti-Semite. David Bixenspan keeps coming up where they just mention that he's mentioned that before. But
yeah, but Al Snow's like he's like a humorous person. Is it something said in passing or maybe somebody took it the wrong way?
I'm a very funny guy.
Biggest jerks in wrestling. Not sure if it fits, but David Bixenspan recently said that Al Snow is an anti-Semite. Okay, I'm trying to find out. I'm looking.
I mean, look, if you've ever listened to this podcast, I say outlandish shit all the time about professional wrestlers, and if any of it was true, there'd be a whole there'd be a whole website dedicated to you know, biggest jerks in wrestling. Bobby Lashley's a pussy because he keeps dodging Shining Wizard's mat.
Oof.
Didn't set yourself live on Hot Mic? We didn't? I thought we did.
We were
Hot Mic? What is he talking about?
We're live. I'm watching us.
Pal.
Pull up the Hot Mic. Let me see if it's working.
You pull up the Hot Mic and we'll... But the book is excellent. It's an easy read. It's like 300 pages. It's really not like, you know, I grew up in Ohio and this is how I got... You know, my mother was this and my father was that. Like, it touches on it, but it jumps right into like... I was a fan of pro wrestling. I was supposed to go to a show. I was horrified of the original Sheik. I didn't go to the show because I was scared of the original Sheik. And it just kind of follows his journey. And it's funny because we've been talking about ECW a lot lately on the show, and it's something that he brought up in the book that people don't – they just know him as the tough enough guy, which I can't wrap my head around. Because to me, he'll always be ECW Al Snow with the head, just for me. And it might be because of my ECW fandom. But it's weird. Like, people forget, like, he was, like, huge, huge with the dirt sheets back in, like, the mid-90s when he was having – matches against Sabu and Candido on the independent scenes and Dan Severn, and they were tearing
it up.
And
Matt, you're going to hate me, but my fondest memory of Al Snow is obviously the ECW stuff, bar none. We talked about him. Maybe he should have beat Shane Douglas, whatever. Man, when he came, the New Rockers, because I loved the New Rockers because I was such a big Rockers guy. And part of me was like, remember when they were, I don't know if you remember this. I'm guessing you might not. Tony, I'm guessing you might not either. But when they were teasing that Marty Jannetty was going to have a partner, he's going to come on Superstars in like 2 or 3 weeks, they're teasing the New Rockers. I was like, as a kid, I'm like 10 years old, 11 years old. I'm like, man, is Shawn Michaels going to come back and be the New Rockers with Marty? Meanwhile, Shawn Michaels was like teaming with Diesel and he's like the IC champ. He's borderline world champ. And I'm like, all of a sudden, I'm like, all right, it's got to be someone that I know. And all of a sudden, it's this guy that I've never seen before, Leif Cassidy, which was a combination of Leif Garrett and David Cassidy. And I absolutely loved it. Like the hippie, like dork, fucking the Monkees fans. Wow. So that was like, that's how. And then when Al Snow went from WWE back to ECW or to ECW, he was still wearing the Leif Cassidy singlets. So I was like, oh, man, and then he grew that weird, like, Fu Manchu or whatever it was, and he had his hair and, like, braids. It was very bizarre, and that's what I loved Al Snow then.
It's an awesome, awesome book, and it's definitely something you want to – I would recommend it to a wrestling fan. Another thing that really sheds light on is just how oblivious people in the World Wrestling Federation / World Wrestling Entertainment are.
Matt, is this – I'm sorry to cut you off, Matt. Is this a biography or is it an autobiography?
He did it with a writer, so it's
– But I mean, like, okay, so it's by Al Snow and
– Yeah.
It's not a book about Al Snow.
No. It's by Al Snow. It's his stories, and he had a ghostwriter and all that stuff. But, you know, just like the kennel match from hell, whatever the fuck you want to call it, like just the stories that he – that he tells from that and how just nobody listened to him. Obviously he was a commentator at one point on Sunday Night Heat and Vince just fucking losing his mind, screaming in his ear and like calling him like a piece of shit and you're a fucking moron and why would you say that shit? And I think enough of these books and these stories have come out where it's kind of, for me, it's not the, he must be bitter at the WWE. It's, It's the WWE is run by a bunch of people who have no fucking idea what's going on. If your name's not like Roman Reigns or Brock Lesnar or Drew McIntyre, then they don't pay. They did a thing,
and
apparently.
And even then, it took a while for them to know Drew McIntyre.
Apparently, I didn't watch WWE at this time, Kevin, so maybe you could help me with this. But there was he was a commentator on Sunday Night Heat with Coachman?
Yeah.
And
then they did like a whole feud with like Jim Ross and Jerry Lawler.
Right, and then Stevie Richards decided he was just going to name himself the commissioner of Sunday Night Heat.
Yeah, Stevie Night Heat.
And then in the book, Al Snow tells how him and Coachman just ran with it because nobody gave a shit. And it went on for 6 months until one day they were in the back talking about it and Stephanie McMahon walked by and heard them cutting a promo about Stevie being the commissioner. And they were, and she was like, that all needs to go through the office. And then she just walked away and he was like, I guess, I don't know.
Dude, at that point, like Sunday Night Heat was a big deal when it first started. Obviously, they debuted it on MTV, this and that. Then, of course, it went to USA Network. They were still kind of doing like the broadcast from the restaurant and stuff in Manhattan. But then out of nowhere, it literally it went from like same thing with like Shock on Saturday Night. Remember how big of a deal Shock on Saturday Night was when it started? They're going to be in like, you know, Penn Station. They're going to be at these bars, these nightclubs. Then all of a sudden it's syndicated, you know, tape before Raw. And it's jobber matches, and it's awful. That's what happened to Sunday Night Heat, where every week you had, like, Stevie Richards and Victoria versus, like, Crash and Molly Holly. Or then you had, like, D'Lo Brown versus Raven or Tommy Dreamer versus, you know, Test or something like that every week. And Al Snow and Coachman, they were, like, heel announcers at that point, which is very weird. And then I think they even replaced Jim Ross and Jerry Lawler for an episode or so on Raw, and then they did like a whole feud with them, and it was very weird. But I love, listen, there's not one thing that Al Snow I think has done that I haven't enjoyed thoroughly. Dude, he's one of the, like, him and Hurricane are probably like the two funniest guys on social media.
Yeah, so that was what I did this week. I read a book about Al Snow. It was
so did,
awesome.
Did you order this book, and like as soon as you got it, you started reading it, or did it lay around for a little bit?
No, I got it for Christmas. And I have this habit of starting a book and then stopping it and then starting another book. So I was hell bent on finishing this book on Ted Bundy, but it took a little longer than I thought. But then it
sounds about right.
In about a day and a half, I read the Al Snow book, and now I'm on to the Nitro book.
Oh, the good one. That
the Guy Evans, yeah.
Likes.
Yeah, the Guy Evans one. So, and then after that, I got to start ordering some more books or something.
You got to go back to baseball. You got to find a good baseball book.
There's a new Andre the Giant book that just came out that's supposed to be really, really good.
There's like, also, isn't there like a biography or something, a new one that's out? Like not a bio, like a special or something, like a Disney or HBO or something.
I thought on who?
I saw something like that. Maybe it is the book. Maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
Oh, maybe.
No, I think it's the book actually.
How?
It just came out like within the last like month or 2 weeks or something like
the
that.
The book?
Yeah.
Yeah, the book came out like a week ago, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of.
How have you been this week, Kevin?
I went back to work today. So
nice.
That was something. First time in over a month. So had to do the old temperature check when you walk in and ask me if I had any symptoms, if I've been associating with anyone under doctor's care, the whole, as you would say, Matt, rigmarole. And so wore a mask all day. Wild. It was weird being around people.
Ooh. Yeah, that's weird when that becomes weird when, you know, you're not used to being around people.
Thank God what they're doing in our office at least is I'm only working 2 days a week. So I'm in on Mondays and Wednesdays and the other guys in on Tuesdays and Thursdays, and it's maybe three of us in the office total, like for 8 hours. It's good. Feeling good. Dad's feeling good. Watch a lot of wrestling. Watch a lot of the network. Crazy Town USA, baby.
What are you watching on the network?
I'm still in my march to WrestleMania 20. I'm like a week out of that. And, you know, I used to think that SmackDown was far and above better than Raw at this time. But Raw is pretty good, man. The whole Benoit, Shawn Michaels, Triple H stuff. Like, even like, I, Matt, were either one of you at WrestleMania 20 at the Garden?
Nope. No, negative.
I was there, and I don't remember in person. I don't remember seeing Victoria shave Molly Holly's head. I don't remember it. I don't know if, like, and it was a pretty big deal because, like, Victoria was, like, kind of like winning these matches against her every week. And then it was a big stipulation where she shaves her head. And I was there, and I don't remember it.
I guess it was one of those moments that just didn't resonate.
Resonate.
That too.
Yeah, that's it. T-Donk.
How you doing over there, Tony?
I'm okay. How are you?
Good. How has your week been?
Fine. I actually started doing... I used Facebook for positivity, and I'll tell you how.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Friend of mine. All right, shit on me if you will, but just shut up and listen at least. Friend of mine started a quarantine goals Facebook page, which is kind of cool. So everybody's been like sharing ideas of things to do and whatnot, which of course just morphed into like everybody like getting into like exercise and weightlifting and running and all this other stuff. So I made a vow. Not only am I doing my DDP yoga, but I'm doing 100 push-ups every day just to build up some more muscle and get in better shape.
Wait, at one time?
Well, I've been breaking them down. I can.
What is it like? No, I'm not.
How many push-ups are you doing, Garifo?
Oh, none. And I could probably only do 5 at a time, probably.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I can do, when I'm starting out, I could do 20 in a set, and then usually I'll do 15 and I'll start to struggle. So I break it down as best I can. And plus, I got like the gimmick grips that you could put on the floor.
Isn't that harder?
Yeah, of course it is. I couldn't even lay on my shoulders last night in bed. They were killing me so bad. I couldn't get comfortable. But So I was doing them strictly, and then my hands started hurting and my shoulders were really burning up. So I started mixing in like just regular without the grips. So I could probably do comfortably. I could do 15 in a set. I'm trying to stay on 20, but like when I'm first starting, I could hit 20. But then after that, I break them down to 15 again. So
right.
I'm trying to work them in as I'm doing my DDP workout for the day. So
nah, I was totally busting your chops about
that. Know.
When you just said 100, I was just like that's impressive. That's not bad. Real people can't do that.
The goal is to I'm working on trying to get 40 together. If I can get to 40 together, that's like the first stop. But right now, 20, first starting out right out the gate, I'm okay with 20.
Matt, how many push-ups do you think you could do in one set?
Probably 10.
10?
Yeah. And then I
think I'd struggle to get 10 right
it'd
now.
It'd be a while before I did another 10, like
yeah.
A couple days. And I'd be sore as fuck. I will not pretend. Although during the quarantine, I've lost 10 pounds.
Nice.
But I have done nothing. It's just... You know, I'm not fucking stopping and getting an energy drink in the middle of the day. I'm not fucking going to McDonald's in the middle of the day in between truck gigs or shifts at work. I'm not I eat like 3 times a day. It's not like garbage. So
just going to ask if you guys' eating habits have changed since this, like the amount of meals you eat a day.
Mine did it first just out of necessity because we weren't able to get a lot of stuff at the supermarket, like extra things. But, when the Easter candy came in, yeah, that kind of went out the window. But like Matt says, since the quarantine, I'm actually down. Usually on a good day, I'm about 208, but I've hit 206 and I've bounced back up to 210. So I'm actually down about 10 or 12 pounds since the start of this as well.
I feel like 210 is a good weight for you.
Yeah, but you know what? I never thought that I would be able to get down to 200. And now that I'm down, like, and I can hit 208, maybe 200 is not a bad idea, you know?
No.
Well, you could definitely do it.
I'm trying my best, man.
I believe
that's why
in you.
The push-ups too, because if you do the push-ups and you you go like stiff with your plank, like you're holding your abs, like you tuck in your butt and all that stuff, it actually helps more, where you'll actually like lose inches on your stump, as well as build up your chest. So, hey, anything that's right that'll get me stronger.
Have you tried the 5-minute plank challenge?
I can do. I haven't tried it. I can do close to 2 minutes. I've done 100 seconds.
You're allowed to, like, change positions, too. Like, you don't have to keep the same position the entire time. You just got to keep the plank going.
Just hold it down
minutes.
With the alligator on your forearms, right?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
It's weird. I have two of Kevin's on my screen. There's one, like, straight ahead, and there's one off to the right. It's kind of fucking
why?
Me. Well, because I have Skype open on one end, and then I have the broadcast stuff open in the middle.
Hot
now
mic.
You have none.
Now I have no Kevin.
Oh, just a Shining Wizards banner.
Yeah, so that's what I've been doing. That, and I watched, what did I start? Oh, I was watching a Superstars episode with the Head Shrinkers and the Steiners. And it was either just before, it might have been the end of 92 maybe. But I just, like, it just popped up, like, it was recently added to the network, so I just started watching a random episode. It was good stuff.
Nice.
Good stuff.
Very good. Well, you brought up the Steiner, so let's fucking get this over with just so we can move on with this fucking show. And,
we put all this work into this tournament, and now he's just like, all right, let's get this over.
So disappointed.
I went Thursday night, I took a page out of Boz's book, and I don't give a shit what that fucking two-timing limey motherfucker says, okay?
Oh, easy.
He did the same thing the week before to try and get Hanson and Brody into the finals, okay? I don't want to hear it.
What, Matt, Kevin? Can I ask you, what was your motive in just lobbying for one of these teams as opposed to just lobbying for votes? Like, why did you want the Steiner so bad?
Because I felt like
in the championship, nonetheless.
In a wrestling match, I feel like the Steiners are a superior team. You can't tell me in the 25-plus years of Road Warriors Legion of Doom history, 5 fucking memorable Legion of Doom Road Warrior matches on your hand. And don't tell me Canadian Stampede, because they had nothing to do with that.
No, no, no.
They were fucking in the background. They were holding Austin's dick in his beer for the whole match, okay?
I can only think of one right now, and that's the scaffold.
Yeah, Knight of the Skywalkers. Congratulations, Hawk and Animal. Outside of that, there's nothing. Like, their WWF tag title win, like, not memorable. It was more memorable when they showed up and they pulled the fucking extra member of Demolition out from underneath the ring when they were wrestling the Hart Foundation at SummerSlam. That's more memorable than them winning the tag titles in WWF.
Wait, you didn't?
That's actually a great point, Matt.
You didn't like their debut at WrestleMania with the fucking puppet?
Oh, Rocco? Are you fucking serious?
First of all, that wasn't their debut. They had taken a break and came back with Paul Ellering and Rocco.
Well, that was, I mean, Paul Ellering's debut, wasn't it?
Paul Ellering's debut, yeah. And then, no, that was terrible, by the way. That was awful. And then you... First of all, most of their moments are, Matt, I'm so glad you brought this up because you're 100% right. Most of their memorable stuff is entrances or like weird promos. Like, you could say like their motorcycle entrance at Wembley Stadium was cool, but that's just an entrance. And they weren't even a tag title match. It was just them versus Money Inc.
Wait a minute. Didn't they stab Dusty in the eye that caused Dusty to get fired?
Okay, so that's number two.
Didn't they win the Crockett Cup one year?
Yeah, they won the first one, I think.
Sure, they won every tag title imaginable in every promotion between the 80s and the 2000s. But yeah, nothing sticks out where you're like, Steiner Brothers, people are like, oh, them against the Miracle Violent Connection at Clash of the Champions was awesome. Scott Steiner was super. The Frankensteiner? I just think, as a whole, they're a better tag team. They're a better wrestling tag team. And that's why I was lobbying for the Steiner Brothers. I get it, man. When What a Rush plays, it's fucking goosebumps. You pop, you go nuts.
Well,
they were a sick tag team. They were sick. I'm not taking that away from them. But in a wrestling match, I pick the Steiner Brothers. And people are like, oh, you know, the Road Warriors beat the Steiners a bunch in Japan. Well, guess what, dickbag? In my research, it wasn't the Road Warriors. It was Hawk and
Power Warrior.
Yes, and Power Warrior. It wasn't Animal. That doesn't count. They're not the Freebirds. They're the Road Warriors, all right? There was never... You know how LOD 2000 turned out with draws. Hawk jumped off the top of the goddamn Titantron.
Hey, wait.
Don't... I did like LOD 2000, though.
What about... what the fuck was his name? The guy that raped Michael Cole on TV.
Heidenreich.
Yes, Heidenreich. See, I'm so glad Matt knew who that was, too.
Friend, you don't remember that, do you?
And you know, like, that's the thing. Like, the Steiner Brothers were always the Steiner Brothers. They never tried to reinvent the Steiner Brothers. They never tried to put somebody else with them and call them the Steiner Brothers. They were just the Steiner Brothers, the Frankensteiner. Someone Scott Steiner size shouldn't have been doing that. Ah, you motherfuckers. That's why I was lobbying for the Steiner Brothers. And a lot of people agreed with me. Michael Kingston, the writer, creator, editor of Headlock Comics. He agreed with me. I had a conversation with him about him. The big deal, Craig Steele. We talked about the Steiner Brothers.
Why are you so fucking gassy tonight?
Why? I'm crushing these Mike's Raspberry Lemonades.
By the way, I can put the tournament graphic up if you want to go into detail as who they beat and, or if you have any notes or whatever.
I don't have any. If you want those details, my friend, you have to go to our YouTube page and you have to watch the video. Okay, I'm not giving that away for free on the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. We're going to tell you.
We're not actually saying.
We're going to tell you who won because I'm not making a video when I just say the fucking Road Warriors destroyed the fucking Steiner Brothers because all you people are sheep, you bunch of sheep motherfuckers.
Matt, are you really surprised that they won this whole thing?
Come on, seriously. You can't be surprised.
We said this when we first had the idea. That
I thought you said the Dudley Boys were going to win this from the beginning.
I said it was the Road Warriors unless they were going against the Dudley Boys. It just so happened that they happened to face in the semis.
Yeah, and they still lost.
You know what? Am I surprised? No, but it was a lot of fun.
It was so much fun, dude.
Oh, no doubt.
And the amount of people. Look, I love busting Boz's balls. Homeboy got Road Warrior Animal to retweet this shit for this fucking match.
We had Hawkins and Ryder involved. We had New Day involved. We had a ton of people involved.
It was awesome. It was so much fun. We got over 1,000 votes just on this match alone.
Yeah. Nice.
Which is huge.
That's a testament to your hard work, brother.
Nah, there was a lot of people were involved with you guys, Baza, a lot of the fans were sharing. Baza, God bless his little fucking British soul. He pushed hard for this.
So, how did he get so invested in, like, what was his, like, motive other than just being a fan and being a friend and helping? Like, what was his defining objective? And getting this out there.
He had his heart set on... What was that, Tony?
I said to piss Matt off?
No, I think he was invested in it. He had his heart set on his team's moving forward in the tournament. And nothing makes you feel better when your fucking team wins. I'm sure, couple it with this whole quarantine bullshit and people going stir crazy. Again, the idea was from the beginning that the three of us agreed on, it was just going to be something we were going to do to give people a distraction, the conversations on Facebook, even if it's for 5 minutes where you just check out of your fucking everyday life, the grind, you're worrying about where your stimulus check is, where your next paycheck's coming from. It just gave people an opportunity to kind of forget about that for a few minutes and just have fun and enjoy it and banter back and forth and bust each other's balls, and it was a good time.
It really was, Matt, and I love, like, I feel like the meat and potatoes and the most fun is when you have those, like the 8-9 seeds, and then, like, or, like, the 2, like, a 10 beats a 2 or whatever like that, and you don't know, like, the meat and potatoes, like, in, like, the first, second, third round are, like, the best. That's, like, the most fun, and it's the same thing with, like, March Madness and the NCAA tournament. It's just, it was so cool and a super idea, and I'm looking forward to hopefully doing something like that again soon.
Yeah, and you really get a grasp on our fan base and the people that – I think we talked about this when we went through the field of 64. The people that follow us on Facebook are more of an old school wrestling mindset where they see these tag teams as these guys. These were tag teams. They were the best workers of that era. This is why they deserve to move on. And then when you go on Twitter – you still kind of see that, but for the most part, it turns into like a popularity contest on Twitter. So people are just voting for who they like more.
Nothing wrong with that.
No. Look, I was happy to get the votes, and it engaged a ton of people, and we got a bunch of new followers on Twitter. So I'm excited for the next tournament that we're going to roll out whenever we decide to do that.
Yeah, things are looking good with that already. We've already got a few ideas for you.
You talk about tournaments, AEW has finalized their two final matches to find out who the first ever TNT champion is, with Darby Allin and Cody Rhodes squaring off in a one-on-one bout, and Dustin Rhodes taking on Lance Archer on Wednesday night, and we'll find out who advances to the finals. I'd like to hear what you guys think of the Cody Darby match and the Lance Archer-Dustin Rhodes match.
So it's going to come down to Rhodes versus Rhodes. Is this what we're looking at? We saw Cody with his little control panel there, listening to all the messages and all the nonsense and whatnot. Is this where they're heading?
I don't think so at all.
Really?
Yeah.
Matt has had his finger on the pulse of this tournament since it started, so he's been pretty good at predicting what's going to happen.
I think
I'm upset that Sammy Guevara lost, because when before they even announced participants, me and Tony both, I believe, said Sammy.
Yeah, we did.
So I'm a little upset about that. That was a great match, though.
Yeah, I've talked about it on the post show with the D-Generation Y. I think we talked about it last week. I think it's Darby Allin. I think giving people Cody and Lance Archer this early, I think it's too paint by numbers.
Well, yeah, and
I think Darby stealing a win from Cody, probably because he gets distracted by fucking Brandi Rose because she doesn't know how to keep her fucking face out of any of his matches.
She's the fucking worst.
Good for her.
Absolutely the worst.
And it plays into when Darby kind of pushed Cody away from him a couple weeks ago on Dynamite, and that'd be a huge upset. And I don't think Cody needs a belt. And then you look forward, and if I haven't heard anything yet, but I know last week they did Dustin Rhodes against Kip Sabian, and if Dustin lost, he was going to retire. Does Dustin throw that out again? Is that something that comes out tonight or tomorrow where Dustin says, you know, I squeaked by Kip. If I can't do this again, maybe it's time to hang up the boots, and maybe somehow Cody gets involved and he costs Dustin a match. So then Dustin's gone. Lance goes to the finals against Darby Allin, and there's so many layers to this story. And I brought it up on on our post show. You got to remember who
That's a hell of a credit, Matt.
You got to remember who Cody's father is. Dusty, the creator of the Midnight Rider, the creator of Yellow Dog. Is it something that's and I might be thinking way overthinking this angle. Is it something where Dustin goes away and he comes back in a mask and some fucking cowboy boots and jeans, and we call him something else for a little while? I might be just way, way outside the box.
Are we talking about if he loses to Darby?
If Dustin loses to Lance because Cody tries to get involved and costs Lance the match because he doesn't want Dustin to retire.
All right.
And then your final is Darby against Lance Archer, and Cody maybe tries to...
So Dustin comes back in like a mask and calls himself something.
Maybe,
not Cody.
Yeah. Yeah, Dustin, not Cody. And I might be thinking way too much here.
Yeah, I think so.
But I think Darby...
I don't hate it.
I think Darby benefits the most from a title. And if he beats Cody and he can get into the finals against Lance and steal a win because maybe Cody gets involved somehow, that just furthers us into the Lance-Cody storyline. Do you really want to have your blow-off to this feud or the start of their feud be a match over a title? And then have these two guys that I don't think necessarily need a title, feud over a title? I think there's more meat on the bone of the story of Jake not getting the call from Cody. Cody being afraid to reach out to Jake, but here's Lance Archer. He wants Jake to guide him.
Matt, is the finals of this tournament happening at Double or Nothing?
It is.
Okay, so regardless, so what's your final? Your finals prediction is Darby Lance?
Yes.
So either way, we're not going to get Cody Lance at Double or Nothing. Out and your final is your final. We're not getting Cody Lance at Double or Nothing.
That's what I think. I could be 100% wrong.
I think you're right. So when would we get the Lance Cody inevitable feud? They don't have a pay-per-view yet announced, right? Another one?
I mean, after Double or Nothing, they usually would go to Labor Day weekend where they do All In or All Out or whatever they call that. I would imagine there you build it over TV for the next three months, you know. Let Lance Archer keep mowing people down, let Cody keep doing his thing, maybe throw him in a tag match. I really don't know. I just think Darby benefits the most, and I think AEW benefits the most with having a character like Darby, where he's like a Jeff Hardy meets Sting. People seem to gravitate him. He's got a huge fan base. Even if he does doo-doo art, it's cool. I don't mind doo-doo art. He can do all the doo-doo art he wants. He's just different, and I think to spotlight him on TV would benefit AEW greatly.
Hey, we got...
And I think, I don't know if you remember listening to Matt Hardy on Jericho's podcast, like Jericho basically called Darby Allin Jeff. Is that the European title? He called Darby Allin Jeff Hardy like 2.0. So there's that. Where'd you find that, buddy?
On my trophy case, because I'm the European champion.
Good for you. Who'd you beat for that title?
Al Snow.
You got to be in his book then, right?
Of course.
Matt, what was that chapter like? What did Al Snow write about Tony?
If it was anything like the indie show that he went to, where the main event was two guys who were going to ride horses out to the ring, until they didn't realize that the floor wasn't meant for horses, so the horses ran out there, slipped, shit, piss all over the place, kicked all the piss and the shit all over the place.
The floor horseman?
Yes. And I guess we didn't, before we move forward, Tony, I guess we didn't really sum up this thing. How bad did the Road Warriors beat the Steiner Brothers in the finals of the Shining Wizards Cup 2020?
Well, we did. It was 71% to 29%.
Yeah, we definitely didn't mention those numbers because that hurt my soul right there when you said that. 71%? Are you fucking mad?
Am I mad? No, that wasn't my decision. I voted for the Steiners because I wanted to make it interesting. It's pretty interesting the way it was anyway. Hey, 71. Let me ask you a question. Oh, you're really pissed off, huh?
He's mad.
He's so pissed he didn't even turn his microphone on to start yelling again.
My microphone's on.
Then what the hell did your mouth?
I mouth 71? That's absurd. Yeah. That's a landslide. It's not possible.
There were worse defeats in the tournament. There were much worse defeats in the tournament.
Sure, when your fucking 16 seed gets their asses whipped by their one seed, but this is a 1-1 in the finals. Come on, people, you're better than this.
Let me ask you this. Do you think Hanson and Brody would have been better against the Legion of Doom? You think they would have had a better chance?
It would have been a fucking hard-on for all those fucking idiots that like strong style. They would have just fucking clotheslined the shit out of each other. It would have been the most untechnical wrestling match ever. It would have been a brawl. It would have been a brawl, and the winner would have been whoever had the biggest dick. I don't fucking know.
Oh, well, there you go. Hey, we lost Kevin, but he should be coming
back.
He's back.
He's right there. Don't worry about it. You don't have to make an announcement. Make the poor kid feel bad because he disappeared.
Well, now you guys, your windows are getting small. There you go. Okay.
Don't worry about the size of my window, okay? It's not the size of my window. It's how much I see out of the window.
Good point.
Is that how that works?
It's not about the size of the window. It's about the view.
I don't know. I'm just throwing shit against the wall and seeing if it sticks.
Did you get a
chance? Against the window.
Did you watch Dynamite? Did you get a chance to catch up on it?
I did.
Okay. So-
nice.
There were two Jabron matches, right?
Yep.
Wardlow against Handjob Harry.
I know where you're going with this.
And all right, so do you think it was better to see Wardlow just destroy somebody, or do you think it was better to see Kenny Omega give a competitive match? Me personally, I could see Wardlow destroying someone, and I could see Kenny Omega giving an under guy, you know, somewhat of a competitive contest. Although I really didn't like the kicking out of the V trigger, but
why?
Because he's an unknown guy. That's why.
That's Alan Eagles, bro.
Yeah,
exactly.
But
thank you, Kevin.
The V trigger is just that. It's the V trigger. It's not his finisher.
Okay, I understand.
Not the one-eyed dove.
The one-winged angel, Kev. Come on, man.
The one. It's the one-eyed dove. Sing the song and that is it. Ooh, 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 it's the one that does.
Eat your heart out, Stevie Nicks.
Oh, shit.
I get it. I just don't. I can't. And, like, who gives a shit?
About what?
Fucking Alan Eagles kicking out of the fucking V trigger. Who cares?
Listen, that's what they're giving us now. Listen, Matt, I'm with you. I loved it.
Look, Kenny Omega just made that fucking kid. When the independent scene, when we can go back to wrestling, that kid can walk around and tell everybody he worked fucking Dynamite, and he fucking kicked out of the V-trigger.
And had Chris Jericho calling his match. And Chris Jericho was hysterical on that commentary during that match. Absolutely gold.
He's hysterical the whole night. He's like really making that show so lively. Him and Tony Schiavone play off each other quite well.
Ski of own.
Matter of fact, I dare say it, I hope Excalibur and Jim Ross never come back. I hope Jericho decides that he's going to accept his fatness, he's going to stay retired out of the ring, and he's going to just do commentary with Shimon.
You fucking dirty motherfucker. Why? Who are you to call Chris Jericho fat?
Oh, come on, dude. He's got...
Hey, he's... Tony's a spry 208.
Yeah, but that's Chris Jericho's not fat, man.
Look at them guns, baby. Look at them guns. 100 push-ups a day, bitch.
Well, how many days have you done 100 push-ups?
I beat Eddie Guerrero for this.
Yeah, so did life. Congratulations.
Dude, Jesus. Kevin quit.
Oh, that's where we draw the line?
It was a phone drop moment. That's what it was.
So the TNT Championship semifinals are set for this Wednesday night. You're also going to see Moxley's going to make an appearance. Brody Lee's going to face Marco Stunt. And on Kip Sabin and Jimmy Havoc are going to take on the Best Friends in a no DQ, no countout match.
You know what? I kind of like the Jimmy Havoc Orange Cassidy match. What did you think of that one?
I enjoyed it very much.
I like how... So Penelope Cruz or whatever her name is, she's sort of involved with Jimmy Havoc as well.
That's it.
She's with Kip Sabin.
But she came out to fuck with Orange Cassidy.
Right, because Kip Sabin is a heel. He's a heel.
One and done.
Look, and you know what, Kevin? Here's another phone drop moment for you, I'll give you. AEW, just like WWE, is making the best of the situation. The fact that they put Apollo Crews into the Money in the Bank match is fucking amazing. And I don't know if it's just because Apollo Crews lives in Florida or what the story is, or someone finally got the shit out of their eyes and realized this dude's fucking super fucking talented.
Can I ask you a question?
You can ask me as many questions as you want.
Is that Money in the Bank ladder match set? Or are they still
I think no, we have one more match.
SmackDown match.
Okay, so do we know who's in it right now?
Yes, hold on. Let me get it in my notes here. Give me
I'll rattle off the ones I know. Mysterio, Aleister Black, Apollo, Daniel Bryan.
Hey, yo.
I want to say Jeff Hardy, but I don't know.
You named five, right?
Yeah.
Four.
You named five. Black.
Black.
Mysterio, Apollo, Daniel Bryan.
Yeah.
One, two, three, four. Why do I only have four here? Hold on.
I think that might be it.
Yeah, yeah, and then they're doing one more match. It's Dolph against Otis on SmackDown.
So oh, there should be an even amount of Raw and SmackDown guys.
What
so
about
you have Aleister, Mysterio, and Apollo from Raw. You have Daniel Bryan from SmackDown, and who's the other one? Who's the fifth?
I didn't have a fifth. Hold on. Give me a second to find it here in my notes.
It might not be a fifth. I thought there... Oh, was it Baron? Was it Baron Corbin versus somebody?
Yes.
Right,
yes, Baron Corbin beat Drew Gulak, so Corbin's in. And then your last SmackDown qualifying match is Otis against Ziggler this Friday.
No Jeff Hardy.
No Jeff Hardy.
Wow.
Aren't they doing something else with him? Aren't they supposed to be doing some sort of like redemption story or some nonsense? I thought I read.
Yeah, they've been showing like these like random like video packages of him, which I don't know if they're new or they're just like from his old DVD that they're just reshowing. So.
Yeah, I don't know. There's something here about building up to a match with somebody on SmackDown, but I don't want to put the cart before the horse, but who knows? That shit might have been taped already anyway, so who the fuck knows?
Yeah, but back to your Jimmy Havoc thing, like, they're just making the best of the situation. And you know what? It's nice to see Darby Allin, Jimmy Havoc. I'd love it if, you know, when Joey Janela can get back down there, like, when AEW started, they were all lumped into this, like, these guys are crazy, and they're going to do these three-way death matches, and Joey Janela is going to wrestle Moxley in an Unsanctioned match. Like, let's get away from that, and let's show these guys who they really are, and show them their value, their worth.
Yeah.
And I think if any company can do it, it's AEW. Did you guys see Cody filed for his name? He owns it now?
Yeah.
Did he really?
Yep.
WWE had to let that lapse, right, Tony? They had to have.
Oh, definitely. Somebody, you know what? They've never been the greatest when it comes to renewing things. It just seems like nobody's calendaring these things. Either that or they just don't give a shit. Like, there's been a few examples over the years of things that they've let go.
On the other end, Tony, you gotta think that Cody Rhodes has it like in his calendar on his phone. He's counting down the days, hoping that.
And if you know what, and he's talked about not using Cody Rhodes anyway, because you know, I mean, he's all in on using Cody. Pardon the pun, the expression, or whatever. But you gotta guarantee it that if he gets a chance to get his name back, he's gonna take it. Whether or not he uses it, of course, is another story. But why not get the rights to it? They did the same shit years ago, I think, with Paul Bearer. They fucking let Paul Bearer expire. So William Moody, you know, fucking Percy Pringle, whatever you want to call him, he wound up jumping on that as well. Like, it's happened a bunch of times over the years.
Cody's been all over it, though. He owns the trademark to The American Dream, The American Nightmare, Dusty Rhodes, Battle Bowl, Bunkhouse Stampede, The Prince of Wrestling, Bash at the Beach, and The Match Beyond. He owns all those now.
Well, there you go. There you go.
Did they ever... They did Bash at the Beach, right?
Yeah, they did it that, you know, after fucking Pussyface over here had a problem with it. Somebody died, and they talked about it, and as they came over the crowd, the chick with the big tits was sitting in the lifeguard chair. And Tony was like, oh, you think they would have been a little more sensitive about the situation?
Fucking horn dog Jim Ross is like, oh, very sad, very sad. Ooh, look at that. What's that over there? I'm like, come on, dude. Really?
Was that a Dynamite or was that a pay-per-view?
That was a Dynamite.
They split it over.
Dynamite, right?
Some shit. They split it over 2 weeks. Fucking old horn dog JR. JR was getting lambasted for promoting Sunny's streaming thing, whatever she's doing now.
Which is only fans, baby. Only fans.
He's like, you know, she's trying to be an entrepreneur, by God. Let the lady, let her make some money, for God's sakes. Who am I to judge, Kevin? Who am I to judge?
Everyone does that. I'm very tempted to join Shelly Martinez's OnlyFans.
Really? I'm very interested to check out Sunny's.
I got to think for her now.
You think she's going to poop?
It's fans only, so.
Sunny looks good.
She was looking good when she was doing the fucking conventions. Why couldn't I think of the word conventions?
I don't know. You having a stroke?
Maybe.
Maybe we were thinking of convictions, because that's
something we have none of
yet.
No, I meant she was convicted. That's what I'm saying.
Yes.
Oh, there you go.
You missed that joke, Tony?
I love Sonny. I love you, Tammy.
Thinking about Sonny myself.
It is being reported by our best friend Dave Meltzer that AEW is going to jump back into the live game.
Stream?
Oh. Not, there is no details as to how live they would go, but it's something that has been brought up, which is ironic because Vince became essential, and then he was going to do it live every week, and then I think we talked about it last week, where they're not going to be live every week now. They're going to tape in clumps, which is smart.
Whatever.
I'm happy with it either way. Just give me my fucking wrestling, man. I could give a shit less about the WWE, to be honest with you, so.
AEW. As much shit as they get, I mean, I guess this is a positive. Like, they were going to go live every week. Now they're not. That's better, right?
I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know how good the product is, but again, I give him credit. Apollo Crews being in that Money in the Bank match, two thumbs up for me, man. The kid deserves a chance.
Yoo-hoo.
Yoo-hoo.
Tony, did you hear about this, though? Did you hear about this, like, spray that they've been using that apparently kills, like, the virus up to, like, 180 days, this company? Did you read that, either of you?
No.
It's like they put it on the ropes and they put it on the thing and nothing can live on it for like 90, to 180 days, and it's like they're the only ones that apparently know about it.
If it was only that, Vince
mentioned it in his conference call.
It's about fucking time Vince is back on the show. Vince, tell us about your spray.
let me tell you about my spray. I used the tears of all the people I fired to make it. you know it. I'll spray it all over the ring because you know what? You're never going to be there again. You want to talk about my notes? All right, this is all I talked about. I don't even know right now. God damn.
Guys, I put in my 2 weeks' notice, by the way.
Really?
Yeah. I can't do it. I can't do it anymore.
So do you have another place of employment lined up?
I have something, but I don't want to say it to you yet because the electricity could be removed from my house and I'd run out of power.
Do you have to give your notice to that little weasel Mark Carano?
He's not a bad guy. He's not a bad guy.
I heard you girls are gonna plan a spot where maybe one of your breasts fall out accidentally to pop a rating and get more followers on the social media. That's a no-no. That's a no. This grounds for termination. It's grounds for terminations. All right. See you in the morning. Fucking Mark Carano.
I don't know what animal I'm doing. I'm just doing something weird.
Before we jump into some WWE talk, we of course have to talk AEW rankings. This is Tony's favorite part of the show. I think it's Kevin's favorite part of the show too. I didn't have rankings last week, and Tony, we can also dive into MLW rankings when we get there.
Ooh, yes indeedy, that's my jam.
But the
fact that, I watch AEW MLW only for this.
Well, this is AEW rankings now.
Oh, okay.
All right, these were released Friday.
I hate this.
You hate
Friday.
All right, so for those of you who haven't been watching AEW, you don't remember. Remember, Jon Moxley, he's your world champion. Nyla Rose, she hasn't been on TV for a while. She's your women's champion. And Kenny Omega and Adam Page are still your tag champions.
Adam Page hasn't been on TV in a while.
You're right. Let's go to the men's division here. Who do you think number one ranked opponent is? Or not opponent. Who's the number one ranked male?
I know who it is.
Lance Archer.
It is not Lance Archer.
Like, have you lost yet?
Or the answer?
Negative. He is. Lance Archer is in the top five, Kevin.
I'll go. See, can't be Moxie's. Can't be Jericho. MJF.
No, MJF is not in the top five.
Sock as I was trying to put it on the microphone. Now I'm a fucking idiot.
I'm probably gonna be drawing a blank about some. It can't be Jericho.
We just talked about him.
Matt.
What? Cody?
Oh, he's your number one.
Whoa, he's only smoking mirrors. AW, there goes Cody Rhodes.
Cody Rhodes is.
Whoa, Brandy is my hot wife. Whoa, I also have a dog.
Hey,
he gets scared of all the fireworks. That's why he stays at home.
You got to be careful using that phrase, hot wife, sir.
Why?
More
meaning than what you think it means.
Hot wife?
He's got a hot wife.
Oh, yeah.
Whoa, what are you talking about, Tony? Whoa, what's the double entendre?
Well, there's no double entendre. Matter of fact, I'll go to my favorite place and I'll look up.
Is it a 4chan thing?
Not really.
Whoa!
Is it an Urban Dictionary
what
thing?
What kind of crazy shit you into? Whoa! Tony's a freaking perv.
Hot wife is, quote, a married woman whose marriage is open on her end only so that she can date other men and have sex with them with both the permission and encouragement of her husband in order to fulfill his fantasy of sharing her with other men to the benefit of their
marriage. Just stop, Tony, with this shit.
Isn't hot wife the app that we're on right now?
Yes.
Isn't that how we're videotaping all this?
You've got your choice of this or, wait, this or I'm trying to point.
Whoa!
This.
Smoking mirrors. Whoa, my name is Cuckoo Rhodes.
Look, the term hot wife means one thing. He's got a hot wife. Stop fucking making shit up, people.
I didn't make it up.
I'm not saying you did. Somebody made it up, though.
Here's the problem.
What's the problem?
We're not woke. You don't understand.
Oh, go fuck yourself. You fucking woke shit. Get out of your get out of your fucking Facebook groups. You're going to fucking clap at 7 o'clock at night bullshit Facebook groups. I got to see that fucking commercial one more time and throw my TV in the fucking street. Enough with the fucking Facebook groups, Tony. Get off the fucking Facebook groups. God damn it.
Facebook
groups are not. It's a fact of life. Yeah.
What?
No, dummy. Who's number two?
Jake Hager?
No, Jake Hager's number five. Lance Archer's number four. Because we mentioned them before.
So three is got to be Darby?
Three is Darby. Correct, Kevin. Okay. Tony, I can't hear you. There you go.
Who's two?
Who's two?
So are we going... So is it 10 or is it just top 5?
It's just top 5 for AEW. This is the men's division.
We got it, right? We killed it?
No, you're missing number 2.
It's got to be Jericho.
No, it's not Jericho. Think of people that have been wrestling. Remember, this record is based off of people that wrestle.
Kenny Omega.
Kenny Omega.
Oh, cuz he beat Angel Ortiz.
He's 4-0.
And he beat Johnny last week on Dynamite.
He beat Alan Alda.
Alan Eagles. Shida is your number one in the women's division with Chris Statlander. Yuka Suzuki following her. Britt Baker is number four, and Rio is number five in the women's division.
Rio!
I was waiting for it. Nice.
And then your number one ranked tag team in the tag team division.
Number one. Best friends?
No.
Best friends?
No. It's the Dark Order.
Come on! Come on!
They're 5-0.
Oh, number 8 and number 9?
No, Evil Uno and Stu Grayson.
Who the fuck did they beat that they're 5-0?
Everybody.
How many episodes of Dynamite have I missed? Probably not many.
Tell me, how many times have you, on a pay-per-view, we've picked them to win and they've won?
The Young Bucks are your number 2 ranked team. The Best Friends have moved up to 3. SCU is number 4, and the Lucha Brothers sit at number 5.
The Lucha Brothers haven't wrestled in like 10 months either.
Yeah. I was going to say that. That's good.
He's not up there. Seriously.
Wait, why is what?
Why are Santana and Ortiz not number 5?
Because they also haven't wrestled, dickhead.
Yeah. But neither have the Lucha Brothers.
All right, so who had the best record when they stopped wrestling?
Oh, well, that's.
I would have rather have seen like Pineapple Pete and fucking Alan Alda be a makeshift team. At least they're wrestling.
All right, fair enough.
They'd be called the Pineapple Mashups.
There you go. Pineapple. I like it. It took me a second to get there, but I like it, Kevin.
Took you a second, right?
You're good. Kevin.
Oh, so I stop talking. Everyone stops talking?
I was mid sip.
Something disappeared on my screen, and I'm trying to figure out what the fuck it was.
It wasn't you, because you're still there, unfortunately. So Dynamite comes to us this Wednesday night. We're going to see the semifinals. We're going to see...
Oh, you know who could have been the number 5 team?
Who?
Fucking QT Marshall and Dustin Rhodes. At least they wrestled.
Maybe they get a couple more wins.
They beat 8-9 a couple weeks ago, didn't they?
Yes.
The Nightmare Collection.
All right.
The fuck,
Tony?
Dude?
Tony, relax, okay?
No. Gonna relax. It's bullshit. I'm siding with Kevin. The AEW top 5 this week ate a bag of dicks. That's fucking awful.
All right. Fair enough. Now.
Hi, Dinreich.
My friend.
If this was a normal circumstance and we were seeing live TV every week, I might agree with you. But look, the Best Friends are gonna have a match at Dynamite now. They're the number 3 ranked tag team. If they can beat Kip Sabian and Jimmy Havoc, that can help bump them up. They're doing the best with the teams that they have in the circumstances that they're in.
But they don't have the Lucha Brothers, my point. Anyway, is it Kip Sabian or Kip Sabian? You keep saying Sabian.
Sabian.
Is it Sabian?
Yeah, because you're confusing Chris Sabian and Kip Sabian.
Oh, I'm definitely not confusing them. Trust me, I would never confuse Chris Sabian with Kurt.
Oh, I didn't mean like that you didn't know who was who.
Find a bag of fucking doo-doo. What?
What?
No good with the doo-doo?
No, doo-doo's fine. You do your doo-doo art. Brody Lee's going to face Marco Stunt on Wednesday. Moxley will be there.
Wait. Slow down. Hold up. Wait a minute. Do you think fucking Brody Lee is going to give Marco Stunt anything? Or this is going to be like a complete destruction?
What do you mean?
Like Marco Stunt. Is he going to get a little offense on the broski? Or?
He's got to. The bro? Whoa. Who?
The Brodsky.
Oh, the Brodsky. All right. Like he's got to get offense in.
I think he'll get a little in. He'll probably get about the same amount he got in on Lance Archer. But I think there's a deeper story there. And I think it's been talked about on the post-show, Dynamite show that we do every Wednesday night. Some people think it's leading to a Dark Order Jurassic Express feud where Brody Lee faces Luchasaurus, which would be fucking awesome.
That'd be cool. I'd be down for that.
Would you?
Yep.
Yeah, it.
Dude, I had fucking olive bread with dinner.
You're such a guinea.
I know. It's fucking bad, dude. Like, that's what I'm burping up. I'm tasting that more than anything.
So wait. You had olive bread.
Yeah, my wife.
Would that be considered olive loaf?
No, because olive loaf is like cold.
I know what olive loaf is, Tony. It was.
I didn't know. I'm just making sure I know. It was. I just, I need to learn something.
All right, fucking
barefoot. What do you hear? What do you say?
Fucking barefoot Contessa. Take a fucking break there.
Jesus.
You fucking asshole.
Really? Is
what?
This where we're
See, that's the thing. You can't put on the Food Network before like 2 o'clock. Otherwise, it's always like Barefoot Contessa and like freaking some weird ass show like Country Cooking Kitchen or whatever. Get away till at least 2 o'clock.
You know what we started watching on Netflix?
Enlighten
it's
me.
A baking show called Nailed It. They get these three schlubs.
Oh, where they fuck it up?
Yeah.
I've watched it. It's hysterical. I'm going to get a drink. Talk amongst yourselves.
All right.
Let's talk about Nailed It.
No, don't talk about fucking Nailed It. Jesus
I don't
Christ.
Know, I'm kidding. Matt, this is what happens when you leave.
No, I've listened to a two-man army show. You guys are gold. I'm just going to take a piss and grab another Mike's hard. You got this. Talk about fucking the conference call, the quarterly call. Talk about fucking Money in the Bank. Talk about NWA. Talk about MLW. Camille spoke, goddammit. Words came out of her pretty mouth.
Tony, do you have the MLW top 10?
There was no top 10 this week.
I thought so. Okay, all right.
There was none. I don't think they did one a couple weeks ago either. Like, they just... Kevin, like, before everything happened, MLW shows were starting to run like an hour 5, hour 10. And now, I think they're just kind of stretching what they have. So we're getting...
Was weird because it's the whole Super Series thing. They've been in Mexico for the last how many weeks of tapings, right? Like, a bunch.
Yeah, and
but they had one like we talked about it last week.
There's still,
bro, Tony, don't leave me. What happened? You're frozen.
Let it go,
Tony. You're frozen. This is what happens when Matt leaves. Can you hear me? T Donk.
Oh, wait, disconnected? Why am I disconnected? What the fuck happened?
This is ridiculous. Something. I told you, this is what happens when Matt leaves. Can you hear me?
Yeah, can you hear me? We're reconnected. We should be fine now. You good?
Yeah, I hear you. But I don't know if we got any of... Yeah, I hear you.
No, I got everything. I got all of us yelling and whatnot. Hopefully Matt picked it up on his end. We're still learning, folks. It's a work in progress. But I think today's coming apart. Jesus, coming together a lot better than last week's did. Here he comes, big belly, belly, man, big belly, man. Big belly.
did you see that power walk he just did right across?
Now, is that the bathroom behind? Like, is he going to take a shit now with a beverage? Like, is this what he does?
No, I think he went from the latrines to the mess hall, I think.
All right, so if you guys are in the chat room, I want to play Guess What's Behind Matt's Desk. I'm going to guess that's his shitter, and he's probably dropping a real fucking smelly diarrhea shit right now.
Oh, maybe that is, actually. He went in that door back there?
Yeah, and he brought his fucking cannon with him, so he's probably drinking.
Oh, right then.
That's what he's putting out.
You're right. He probably went he went to the mess hall first, got his fill, and now went and brought it to the latrines.
Ugh, he's so gross. He's a gross man.
Tony, who is that on the Wall of Fame under EYFBO.
Casey Catall.
That is Casey. Okay. The yeah. light is like.
I know.
Right there. Yeah. No, that's fine. I just wasn't sure who it was.
It's the fixture next to it. That's all it is.
No, it's all good. That's a hell of a wall of fame.
Definitely.
All right, so.
Because he came back with another beverage. So unless he keeps them in the fucking tank of the toilet.
Is that the one that he brought in?
No, he had a can with him when he went in. Yo, hey, when you went to the room behind...
So, David Hart Smith...
Wait, hold on. Oh, okay. You went to the room back there. You had a can in your hand, didn't you?
What room?
The door behind you. You went in there with a White Claw, didn't you, or something?
No, I had the empty Mike's Hard Lemonades.
Oh, all right, so you had an empty with you. Okay. Is that the shitter behind you? What is that?
Over my left shoulder?
Left.
That leads to the office landing, and that goes downstairs. When I go to the right, that's where the shitter is.
Oh, okay. All right.
Told you.
All right, no, you're smarter than I am, Kev.
That's a good point.
Oh, somebody's calling you out saying it was the shitter. Ha ha.
Who?
Oh, your house.
Kate the Great. All right, Kate.
KTG.
Yeah, she's done infecting everybody in her family with her coronavirus because she's an irresponsible adult, so she's back on the Wednesday Night Dynamite show. What were you guys talking about while I went to get a drink and take a piss?
We actually put it to the chat room as to what actually the door was behind you, and I thought it was the shitter, but I was wrong. Well, we did, because we didn't want to talk about MLW, that's why.
You didn't, or you did want to talk about MLW?
No, we started talking about it. We were getting into the whole Mexico taping thing and how they were stretching things out. You watched it this week, correctly?
I did.
Okay. First of all, congratulations to whatever fucking doctor Brian Pillman goes to, because his jaw was looking fucking terrific. I don't know if you caught that one. Another thing that's been going on, they're actually continuing the storyline with these crooked referees. Do you think they're just doing that because this is something that happened to come up in the matches? Or do you think Court Bauer went to whoever was in charge and said, hey, let's do a little storyline shenanigans things here?
I mean,
it's really weird, right?
I mean, Court's a pretty smart guy, and he knows what he's doing. It's so hard to pinpoint where, like, when were these tapings happening and what was going on in the world? Like, there's no point in... There's no point in starting an angle if there's no, like, what's the payoff? Unless the payoff comes why they're still in Mexico. You know what I'm saying?
Well, it's brand supremacy is what it is.
It does. No, MLW's killing them.
No, they won two matches this week.
They're up 4-2, bro.
Yeah, so they won both matches this week. You really think Injustice is going to win the six-man belts next week?
All right, fair enough.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they can't make it 1-1 for 3 weeks in a fucking row. They got to give us a little variety. Hey, you know what? Here's the sad thing. Brian Pillman was trying to work the crowd, which was working a little bit. But to be honest with you, fucking they had no idea who Richard Holiday was. If it wasn't for fucking Savio Vega, they had no idea who Mance Warner was. It's just really fucking weird. They're getting no reactions. And the matches haven't been great, but they haven't been terrible. I kind of enjoyed the tag match with the Hart Foundation and the fucking Beepo and Meepo, whatever the fuck their names were. I you know, watching Davey Boy Smith getting fucking heated on the apron. Then Injustice came out, and they didn't fucking do anything with Injustice anyway. So, like, I don't know. It was weird. And Holiday, it was a little sloppy. I don't know if it was Holiday's fault necessarily or just the two guys weren't really meshing together well, but just kind of a weird bag, you know, the whole thing in Mexico.
I think them doing, like, all this stuff where they go and they run these shows with these guys from AAA to create TV, I think it's more of a something they can bring back to the States or other places they're trying to shop their TV show as, like, we're a worldwide wrestling company. Because to your point, it seems like nobody has a fucking clue who some of these guys in MLW are in Mexico. And I've never been to Mexico. I've never wrestled in Mexico. I don't know how hard it is to get over as a gringo. But I don't know. I'm with you, Tony. It just didn't seem like people gave a shit about these guys.
I do. I like that they were getting into pushing the feud with Mance and Hammerstone. Mance had a nice little bit with Alicia there where he was, you know, interviewing her. And, like, they were talking about her birthday and how it was going to be, like, you know, he wants to go after the gold. And then Hammerstone cut that that promo from his neighborhood talking about like how it's his belt, it's had his name on it. That was some good shit. I enjoyed that. Trying to think. Oh, did you notice they pulled the old bait and switch again? Filthy Tom and America's Top Team was supposed to have some fucking sort of press conference, but apparently they got beat up by, and I don't want to say inebriated Low-Key, but Low-Key looked like he was kind of out of sorts in that video that he cut in some parking lot somewhere. What did you think of that?
I just think Low-Key is a scary, dangerous individual, and
he is, but he didn't seem like his intense self. Like, he was just kind of, like, bobbing and weaving and, like looking into the camera funny. It was very uncharacteristically Low-Key.
I mean, maybe that's what they want from him.
I guess. What did you think overall this week? Thumbs up, thumbs down?
I mean, it was a lot of filler. We found out what was wrong with Douglas James.
Yeah, what do you think about that? 180 days of suspension, allegedly, supposedly? Or not suspension, but...
Wait, what?
He was... the medical report read he had a transient disorder of brain function without long-term sequel.
Concussion, maybe?
Subdural hematoma, barred from contact for 180 days unless cleared by a neurologist.
It's a bruise. He got a bruise on the brain. He got a fucking concussion. That's what it was.
I just don't understand the story because MLW's not doing... After these Mexico tapings, that's it.
That's okay because when they go back to normal, they're going to have him wrestling anyway like nothing happened. Like fucking Brian Pillman Jr. with his jaw wired shut. And he's sticking his tongue out at the fucking fans in the front row. Come on, dude. It's almost like there's shit that I watch on NWA Power and it's like, okay, that's pretty funny that they did that or pretty. It's getting to the point where MLW where like I'm almost like excusing like the shit that they're doing just because like they're finding these really strange ways to get from point A to point B. Maybe it's just me, but like I don't know, man. It's just always like a mixed bag with MLW. Always. Mexico, Philly.
I liked it, man. I liked them. I loved the opener. I loved the main event. I told you guys in like our group chat like they should never leave Mexico. I know like Richard Holiday didn't get much of a reaction, and he's like the Caribbean champion, and like now they're like what happens if what's his name wins? Is Savio Vega gonna be down with that in Mexico? I thought it was pretty cool, and I just think in these tapings like no one expects their guys not to win. So when a guy like Richard Holiday wins, he's a heel. They don't like it. They don't expect it right away. And they don't know how to react. He did get a reaction eventually once they finally processed that he won the match.
I would have loved to see the Von Erichs dive into a cliff when they did their cliff diving.
Oh, come on, dude.
Oh, boy.
I fucking hate them.
I love the Von Erichs.
You're such
like
a
the shining
fucking
stars
bitch.
Of the show. Come on.
No.
You guys can hear me, right?
Yeah. Back, right? Yeah. Stars of the show. Star of the show. La Parca. Pillow talk. Done.
Oh. 100%.
There you go.
100%. A La Cocina de Pendejos.
And I think Kevin's gone for good this time. That's all right, Matt. Sit back there. I got this.
He was fucking, dude, he was talking fucking Spanish. It was like when Bart Simpson goes to fucking France on a class trip and he doesn't know how to speak the language and then he starts fucking spitting out French.
Señor, what did he say? Oh, antifreeze.
Kevin got fucking gangster on us. He started fucking spitting some Spanish hardcore. Come on, fucking Miss La Park, she just wanted a kiss. For him to say goodnight, and then he's cutting fucking gassers, shitting all over the place.
I will give him credit. A million times better than the cooking show, which they happen to be bringing back next week, by the way. So,
that's right. And La Cocina Pendejos.
Kevin's wiping his nuts with his fucking microphone right now.
How'd you feel about the weird thing about Colonel Robert Parker thrown in there?
It's so fucking weird. This is what made me turn, actually, with my thoughts on like starting to excuse MLW with shit. It's like so weird. Like, it's gotta be true, right? Like, you just can't make shit like that up. either Kurt Bauer's like into some hardcore fucking drugs to think of this, or he must have been on a fucking bender for a couple of days. But I've never even heard of this. The only thing I ever heard was when they had a wrestling match on a boat in Japan to go to some fucking like deserted island somewhere to have a match. I think Onita was involved with it. My memory could be wrong on that. But have you ever heard of fucking barge wrestling in international waters? Is this like some sort of Fight Club shit?
I have never heard
really
of this.
Fucking weird, dude.
But if Colonel Robert Parker's involved, it has to be legit.
Well, his big dong is going to be involved anyway. But no, the Parkers were always known for wrestling down in the Caribbean anyway. Like, they have storied history wrestling, especially in the Bahamas. But yeah, like they've been to Puerto Rico and stuff. So, I mean, maybe there's a connection, but on a fucking barge, dude, like I don't, it's so weird. It's got to be true. It's like, I didn't see anything about it, but maybe it exists. Who knows?
I mean, if you dig deep enough, you could find anything if you really want to.
You want me to look up some fucking Japanese?
No, I don't. Cause Kevin is having technical difficulties. So it's me and you, buddy. Are you looking forward to the Pagano Jacob Fatu clash?
Not really.
No?
Not really. No.
You don't?
No. Jacob, I don't like, and it's weird. They did the fucking, the same contra video at the end of the
at
show.
At the end of the show, yeah. Well, that's because.
In fucking Zimbabwe, where the fuck they. I don't give a fuck about Contra Unit anymore, dude. I'm sorry. They took that fucking poor guy from Oriental Wrestling and they put him in a body bag. Lord knows where he is. Maybe he's on the fucking barge with Robert Parker. I have no fucking clue. But Jesus, dude, I'm so tired of fucking Contra Unit. Jacob Fatu needs to fucking get rid of Samael, get rid of fucking Floppy Tits, and just fucking go out on his own. Maybe he loses the championship, becomes a babyface. Maybe he joins Top Team. I don't know.
No, but stop with the Top Team.
Dude, your boy King Mo is going to become fucking MLW champion. You mark my words.
I will never watch MLW if King Mo becomes the champion. Mark
you
my
are
words.
You're so full of shit.
I am not full of shit. I fucking cannot stand King Mo. He does not belong in a wrestling ring. That is not his fucking cup of tea. He needs to go fuck his big black hand and fuck off. What?
Easy. Big black hand?
I was going to say big black dick, but that didn't make sense.
No, that would have made more sense.
Fuck his bit. Fuck he. How is he gonna fuck his own big black dick?
Well, with his enough, hand.
Around.
Look, I'm telling you, if King Mo becomes the MLW champion, I'll never watch MLW again.
Come on, dude.
No, not come on. He's fucking trash. Are you serious?
It's King Mo, bro.
King of what? What's he the king of?
Pancreas? I don't know.
No, that's fucking Boss Rootin, you piece of shit. Don't you ever disrespect Boss Rootin.
Oh, now all of a sudden you're a fucking
Memphis, Tennessee.
No.
Well, I'm Mo. Well, I'm Mo. The king of Memphis, Tennessee. Well, I'm Mo. Well, I'm King Mo. Well, I'm the king of Memphis, Tennessee. Top team. Ho, ho.
I like the path that MLW is on with Jacob Fatu and Davey Boy Smith Jr. Because Jacob Fatu is a super talented dude. You don't get to see him enough on MLW, and I don't know if that's by design, so it makes his title defenses feel more important. But, dude, he's fucking super athlete. So him and Davey Boy Smith Jr. should be dynamite. Mance and Hammerstone, I'm all in on that, too.
I'm looking forward to that one big time.
Don't give a fuck about Team Filthy and the Von Erichs. I really don't. I really don't.
I will fucking kill you.
On paper, it's a bad idea. And in the ring, it's going to be a bad idea. The Von Erichs can work. I don't like Tom Lawler. I think Tom Lawler is fucking bad.
Can I interrupt for 1 second?
You can interrupt for many seconds.
Not that this is off topic, but Botchamania came out a couple days ago, the new episode. Dominic Guarini fucking opens the episode, and you could not fucking think of a more different version of Dominic Guarini than what I saw in that Botchamania episode. Complete 180 from what you see when he fucking wrestles. The guy talks. He's got personality. He actually looks normal. He combed his hair. It's a fucking different person. It's crazy.
Yeah, and I don't hate Dominic Guarini like everyone else does. For some reason, he fits that role, and I feel like he could be a bad dude when they finally want to make him be like a bad dude.
But he's just very stiff. Like, he doesn't feel comfortable. Like, he feels very, like he doesn't know how to bump. Like, his movements are a little choppy. Like, it's just weird.
But if you look at the character, and I know I said this like 2 weeks ago that he looks like he doesn't belong in the wrestling ring, and now that I have time to think about it, like, he's not a wrestler, though. He's a Brazilian jiu-jitsu fighter. So even if he knows how to wrestle, the fact that he looks uncomfortable in the ring, maybe that plays to the fact that, yeah, he might be clumsy in the ring, but if he gets you on your back, he's going to choke you the fuck out. The problem with all these fucking MMA guys in wrestling is that they all don't make the transition that Ken Shamrock makes.
You don't like you don't like anybody on Top Team? You don't like any of the crew?
First of all, I think I can't stand Tom Lawler.
You don't like Lambert or whatever his name is?
No, Dan Lambert, he's not even a fucking wrestler. He's just a promoter.
Wasn't this the same group that was involved in Impact?
Yep.
What happened with the Impact shit? Like, I guess they wrapped up there. Did they ever do anything of note?
No.
Okay, I'm just asking.
No, it was done. It was garbage. What was it? Josh Barnett, right? That was who was there?
Yes. Yes. Good call.
Look, some of these guys can transition from MMA to pro wrestling, and some of them just can't. They just get the shot because of their fucking name. Like, King Mo signed with Impact a couple years ago. Like, what did we see him twice on Impact? Like, he's just not good. He's not a pro wrestler. He's an MMA fighter. Stay in your fucking lane.
Yeah, this is true.
And if he becomes the champion, I'm never watching MLW again.
That's a shame, dude. That's a shame.
That's a shame. That's a shame.
Tony, that's not a shame, Tony.
You wouldn't tune in to see old Mansoor? You wouldn't tune in
no.
to see...
Yeah. No. Wow. No. Because wow. King... Because someone decided King Mo should be the face of MLW. He's your world champion. He's the best wrestler you have in the company. Fuck out of here, King Mo. King Mo couldn't lick the dog shit off my shoes if I paid him to.
It's kind of hurtful.
I'm going to fuck King Mo up. How do you like them apples?
Oh, whoa.
Challenge? I like this.
Yeah. King Mo, he's on the hit list.
Well, there you go.
I might not last 40 seconds with him. I might not last 20 seconds with him. But I'll at least say some disparaging shit to his face before he knocks me out. I'll tell you that right now.
Matt, what's that hit list looking like nowadays?
It's got Bobby Lashley. Always right. Bobby Lashley. King Mo's there. Kerry Sane.
Kerry Sane's on the hit list?
Yeah. Don't like the pirate. Don't like the pirate. If I had to smack a bitch, it would be her.
Okay, well, wait. Let's stand Kerry Sane for a second. You saw when she got destroyed by Nia Snacks last week, right?
Yeah, when your girl dropped on her fucking head.
Yo, thanks to the technology at Botchamania, I didn't catch this when I first watched it. She was actually screaming to Nia that she wasn't ready, and Nia just fucking launched her anyway. That's fucking crazy, dude.
Well, I'd hardly call that a launch.
Well, it sort of fizzled out. It was more like the challenger than it was.
I didn't think it was that bad.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, the idea is she shouldn't have done the move, but I don't think the landing was as bad as people made it out to be.
I don't know, dude. She came down on her head. Then again, you look at the landing with Sting when he was in there with Seth Rollins.
Sting. Taking
the
buckle
from him, and, you know, it's like shit could have been really fucking bad, dude.
That's fair.
Landing on the back of your head in a fucking corner turnbuckle could be real.
Didn't she like just come back from a concussion or something like that?
Kerry Sane? Yes.
She did, right?
Yeah. Look, don't be stealing snacks out of Nia's purse, you fucking pirate. That's what happens. You get dropped on your fucking head.
So who's after Kerry Sane? King Mo, then?
No. It'd be Bobby Lashley, Kerry Sane, because I hate pirates. King Mo. Then Jimmy Havoc, because I just hate his hair. I don't like his hair at all.
You going to fight a guy over his hair?
I'm not fighting anyone. I am not an idiot. I know in all these instances, if I was ever face-to-face with them, all four of these people would beat the shit out of me.
Honestly, if I had to pick one that I think you'd have a punching man's chance against, it would be Jimmy Havoc.
Well, it depends on how many pints the mate has had.
Well, you know how to drink, right? You can swore them down.
Yeah, but if he gets more drunk than me, then I have a better chance.
Well, he already tried to take down Tony Khan once, didn't he? That didn't work.
He threw a couple of drinks. Bro,
if we could get Shining Wizards Matt against Jimmy Havoc, I think we'd fucking draw like 10,000 people to see that shit.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, guaranteed.
10,000.
Send it over to England when the fucking quarantine's over. The prodigal son returns. He fights the fucking filthy American. That'd be awesome. That would be awesome. Who wouldn't pay to see Matt get his ass handed to him?
I could think of a lot of people.
Kate suggested, would you do a cinematic match against King Mo?
No. No.
That'd be good.
Nothing with a little theater. Like you're walking to the octagon and you're like, I ain't going to fight you here. I know you'll kill me, but I know where we can fight. And then they pan to the like your backyard where your steps are, and they have flashbacks of you pushing your mother-in-law down the steps.
Listen,
and you're like,
listen, I did not push my fucking mother-in-law down the steps, you piece of shit. Stop telling people I did shit like that, okay?
Yo, but Tony, watch. What about this? What if like Matt comes out like old like Macho King style, where he has like Degeneration Y, like carrying him on that big throne.
All right. I'm with you, Kev. Like, let's do it.
And he's got like a crown and like a robe on, and he just walked down all those stairs, and they just drop him.
That sounds. You lost me there. Sorry.
I know. I lost myself there too. I thought it was a great visual that I got to.
I was all in until you fucking dropped me, Kevin.
Well, I didn't drop you. I'm not carrying you. It's your boys. That's Ryan and DJ. That's Ryan and the AOP. They dropped you, not me.
Yeah, dude, it comes down to you and King Mo face to face, and then you go, would you think I would come along for this shit? And, like, you snap your fingers, and then, like, and fucking AOP comes out, and fucking
Ryan there used to be more of us.
Yeah, and Ryan Arthur's dressed up like fucking, like, the guy from the Legion of Doom, fucking Paul Ellering, and he's got the suit on with the fucking cane and shit. And then Kate comes out, she's dressed like Scary Sherry, and she's got the big fucking braid on her head. That'd be fucking awesome. That would be awesome.
I'm not putting.
He's thinking about it.
I'm not putting him over. I'm not putting Mo over.
No, you wouldn't have to put him over, dude. It's on your turf.
Matt, I don't think you'd have a choice in the matter.
You'd have to put Jimmy Havoc over because he's going to be the hometown boy in England. But definitely put King Mo over. Put him over, dude. Who gives a
King
shit?
I'm not putting King Mo over.
Oh, no. King Mo will put you over. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, that'd be huge for me. That'd boost my career through the roof.
And then you could go do the job for Jimmy Havoc.
Yep. It'll drive ticket prices up for Jimmy Havoc.
And then where does
Kerry
Sane get in? Do you beat Kerry Sane or does she beat you? Or do you have one of those Japanese wrestling things where the loser has to get banged by the referee? Because I'd be down to see Matt get an ass railing by some Japanese referee. That'd be awesome.
Or does Rhiannon get involved in this?
I'm not getting pegged by my wife, first of all.
Oh, wait, what? I wasn't talking about that. I was talking about...
That makes me think that's happened before. What is Matt not telling us?
No.
Telling us, don't tell us.
No. I've always told my wife, I love her. I will never let her near my butt, ever.
I brought this up. Is this a thing that has like been brought to the table for you to bring this up? I mean,
what? No, there's always like the joking... But I'm like, no, you will not go near my butthole ever because I love you too much. And I know what I do. I know what comes out of my butt. It's fucking gross, okay?
Just make sure that it's in an empty arena.
There's no money to be made in an empty arena.
So you would do it if there was money to be made?
No, nobody's pegging me. Baza is over here tweeting at King Mo now.
What time is it in Baza Land?
Oh, who he doesn't have a fucking job anymore. Who fucking knows?
No, I think he's making sandwiches somewhere. I don't know. He's always posting pictures from some supermarket on Facebook.
Yeah, he just goes and hangs out at the supermarket like some fucking goon.
That's all right.
You got a Facebook? Let me vote for a second for the Road Warriors. Thanks, okay.
Hey, Blue, hook me up with Marmite. I need some biscuits, yeah?
So that was MLW in a nutshell.
Well, there you go.
It's 1:30. Oh,
that was a lot of stuff happening on MLW.
Kevin, it's 1:30 in the morning.
That might be the. I have to go back and watch this episode of MLW. Matt versus King Mo in a loser falls down the stairs match.
Highest
Rhiannon in a game of dodgeball, which the only thing I know about pegging is dodgeball.
Really? Like getting pegged with a dodgeball?
He doesn't know, but
you want me to look up pegging for Kevin?
No, he's not even on the video anymore.
I'm doing that because I don't want to get dropped again.
No, I understand. So you wouldn't be able to see the video of somebody getting pegged.
I can see you guys.
Oh, don't tell Tony that. Jesus Christ.
I don't know, but don't do it.
I gotta figure out a way on Skype to do that so the people watching us on Hot Mic can watch along.
No, you're gonna get us kicked off of Hot Mic if you show.
No, I wouldn't show anything like that.
Oh, you wouldn't show turkey balls or some guy with his strong ropes? No, none of that.
Tony, we're gonna get kicked off Hot Mic, and then we're gonna have to be on Hot Wife.
Hell yeah!
Kevin, I don't know if you heard me before. Baza says it's about 1:30. Over there.
I did.
Impact is still running shows. They ran their Rebellion shows this week.
Oh, baby.
Or last week? Last week.
How many champions were on these shows?
There was one.
Oh, Ace Austin, right?
Yeah.
And what happened with Ace Austin?
We have a new X Division champion in the Mac. Willie Mac beat Mr. Ace
nice.
Austin. The Rascals beat Fala, TJP, and Triple XL in a three-way dance. With the North sending a message to Impact from Canada saying they will not, they're stuck in Canada, and they'd rather be safe in Canada. And they said they didn't want to go to the U.S., so they're making an open challenge to Canada's best. So...
That's kind of interesting.
Take that for what it's worth. Your girl Kylie Rae made her fucking debut. And she beat fucking Kira Hogan because she's smiley. She doesn't like chicks with dicks.
Who does?
I do.
There you go.
They're a good time. Rhino, Tommy Dreamer, and what?
Get picked by a chick with a dick.
What?
Would you be down for the honey? With a chick with a dick.
No, I don't want anything near my butt.
Okay, continue.
Do you?
Crazy Steve, baby. Oh,
it's not my style, bro.
Okay, then.
I'm just asking you. You're the one that's into the pegging.
Kevin's right. Crazy Steve, bro. Crazy Steve came back.
He's back.
He was a detriment to the match. I'll tell you that right now.
Boo. Why? No good?
He was not good at all in the match.
Was he the shits of the drizzling variety?
I just didn't think he was very good to the match. The match itself wasn't anything to write home about.
Oh, boo. I was writing a letter.
That's surprising.
I don't know if it was ring rust. I don't know what the story was.
Just based on how good Crazy Steve is.
But it was he was not good.
Not
at all. And then Ken Shamrock beat Sami Callihan in an unsanctioned match, which was actually really good.
You know, Ken Shamrock, his face shows his age, but when you look at the way he's built now, like, dude, he looks like he could fucking go like for another 20 years. He's so jacked. It's crazy. Shredded, too, man. Like, just not just beef, like shredded beef, you know?
Like, if you would have told me, like, when Impact start, like, that Ken Shamrock would be a relevant name in professional wrestling, like, maybe, like, for a couple times, like, a couple spots, it's awesome. It's, you know, the first TNA Impact heavyweight champion or NWA TNA heavyweight champion. I'd be like, all right, cool. Ken Shamrock's back. But the fact that he's stuck around this long in this run, it's got to be like about a, maybe not, it's got to be about a year, right? At least in this run?
I'd say at least 6 months. I don't know about
it. All right. So 6 months to a year that he's still being used like regularly. And granted, it might be easier because they tape a lot. But I would have never, that's one name I would have never ever predicted to have this strong of a run this late in life and not that he's old, but I'm saying like in just in wrestling now, never would have guessed it. Other than a WWE Hall of Fame thing, never would have guessed it.
Well, he's a TNA Hall of Famer. That's where he's heading or was heading. I don't know when they're doing that, but he's the latest inductee, Ken Shamrock.
Good for him.
That's right.
So that was Rebellion Night 1 this Tuesday night, tomorrow night, April 28th. We find out the fate of the World Championship with Tessa in California. She's not at the show. Eddie Edwards is not at the show. Michael Elgin promises to become the Impact World Champion. Plus, Rosemary takes on Jessica Havoc in a Full Metal Mayhem match. Joey Ryan takes on Cousin Jake of the Deaners. Moose has a special announcement, and Suicide, Trey Miguel, Rohit Raja, and Chris Bay are in a four-way dance, which is probably going to steal the show.
Awesome. Good.
So that's it.
This is not going to be champ.
Impact's doing good stuff. If you have Axis or the Impact app, it's definitely worth checking out.
They're not on Pop TV anymore?
No, they're on Axis, man. Come on.
Pop TV.
Do you want to talk about this WWE conference call?
No, do the Patreon, because I want to go take a piss.
Oh, Tony wants to take a piss, so we're going to talk about those that support us. Head over to ShiningWizards.com or Patreon.com/WizardsPodcast, and you can become a supporter of the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast for as little as $1. That's right, $1 a month. Kevin, how much?
$1.
$1 a month, we will mention you on the show, and that goes to... us having updated equipment, it allows us to continue to give you the show for free. It pays for our website. It pays for our GoDaddy account. It all goes back to the show. No one's pocketing it.
We need to provide you guys great content.
Exactly. I'm not using the money to buy pro wrestling crates. I'm using my own money for that. So head on over to patreon.com/wizardspodcast. And for as little as $1 a month, we will mention your name on the show. And you get 10% code to Pro Wrestling Tees, where you can save 10% on Shining Wizards gear. What would make you the most popular kid on the block? Shining Wizards t-shirts, that's what. And then as you go up in tiers, $3 a month, you get watch-alongs. $5 a month, you get watch-alongs. We plug your shit. $10 a month, boxes of wizardry. $15 a month, boxes of wizardry. $20 a month. My fucking head explodes that someone would give us $20 a month for this nonsense. But people do it, and we are grateful for you. So let's take that time to thank those that support the Shining Wizards Wrestling Podcast. We're going to start with Kathy Hummer, the queen of the Shining Wizards. Manny Carrazzo, the king of the Shining Wizards. My brothers, D'Anthony. Danny and Anthony Rusinello, the AOP. Ryan Arthur over at elementary.com. If you are in the tri-state area and you're looking for some great homebrew, elementary.com. It's elementary.com. They can do contactless pickup at their location in Hackensack. And you could find their stuff at like ShopRite and a couple other huge liquor outlets. So definitely check out Elementary if you're looking for some nice homebrew. Sean Toe.
Even nowhere.
Sean Callejo, Brett Simonello.
Are you here? What do you say?
Kate the Great Hensler from OnDeckIC.com. Matt Garifo, no relationship to the KJG. Mr. Matt Mellinger.
Definitely no relation.
Christine Friesendorf.
Friesenhagen.
Corrine Jansen, that hot and spicy chick. Mark Parloni. Kenny Hawsey, the Scotch Drinkmore on the Twitter machine. Jay Cop, Big Cop of Pump from the Turnbuckle Throwbacks. Thomas Copps, the Mott Spock.
There you go.
Michael Hammond. David Henry Bauer III. And last but certainly not least, Mr. William Mercier Jr.
Lives are going to be in William Mercier's hands. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean, Kevin.
That's right.
Tony, what do you got? A sweet treat there?
I had a little Talenti. Treated myself to a little Belgian chocolate ice cream.
Did you guys read any of the notes from this call that Vince McMahon did the other day?
No, but if you're going to read the notes from it, you have to read it as Vince.
The reason for the year-over-year increase. They were a rights fee offset by a reduction in both live event ticket revenue and merchandise sales. A record 46 million hours were consumed during WrestleMania week. Up 28% from the prior year. I'm crazy. Crazy, Vince. Did you see me on SmackDown? I'm all over the place.
He had a weird appearance on SmackDown, but we'll talk about that after we talk about the call.
The call, you know, obviously said coronavirus only affected a few weeks during the quarter, and they will continue to produce compelling content in the weeks ahead. Vince acknowledged that ratings were off considerably year to year and said SmackDown has been fairly consistent. He said it's a challenging environment, but you have to take advantage of that environment and make it special. They will continue to look to create mini movies like they did at WrestleMania. What else? He said Saudi Arabia wants to have another event, but is unsure if they can give all clear for November or December just yet.
Yeah, you know what's the all clear? 500 million reasons to be all clear. Don't make it. Don't worry about it.
There will be no video game this year. No 2K, whatever.
Yay!
But they
there
will.
There is a video game, though.
There is a video game.
They announced it today. Do you know that, Matt? Or no?
Yes, I do.
Okay, go for it then.
It's WWE Battlegrounds. It'll be very similar to the WWE All-Stars game.
And I loved All-Stars, dude. I used to get my shit kicked in by these fucking kids that played it online. But playing locally against, like friends, it was a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
And it's weird, though, because, like, I understand why they're doing it and the position that they're in. But to me, like, it doesn't look like any different than, like, a game you can get on, like, your phone now.
Well, unless they do like a simple, quick $20 game. Maybe it's not going to be a $60 release. Maybe it's something where it's like $20 and then you could like buy shit for it. Like, you know, like you buy like the New Day pack where you get like three new characters or shit like
gotcha.
That. It might be like a $20 purchase point and then, you know, just keep buying DLC for it. Which is what they should have been doing with the WWE 2K series to begin with. It's not like it's Madden where you're going to have all these new guys on these rosters every year. You can easily just fucking say like, oh, we signed, you know, like wrestler XYZ. Well, then in the next 3 months, wrestler XYZ is available for download for like $1.99 or some shit, you know? Easy. Easy way to make money. But no, they got to keep fucking pushing it. And it wound up biting them in the ass. This is what it is.
Yeah, that last WWE 2K game was trash. Operating income was $53.3 million, up from the prior year's quarter, $6.8 million loss. What else? Raw ratings were down 16% year over year, while USA Network was down 29%, and the top 25 cable networks were down 5%. Average paid subscriptions were down to 1.4 million. Over last year, it was 1.58 million. Average live event attendance was up, but that was due to just 42 events in the quarter due to coronavirus. Just, you know, little shit here and there. Definitely worth going back and reading the transcript or even listening to it. It's remarkable how at one point he said the coronavirus caught everybody with their pants down. Which I don't know. I feel like that's a stupid fucking statement.
I mean, what do you want him to say?
It's Vince McMahon, dude. He always says stupid shit.
I mean, it is. At the end of the day, he's got to fucking pat himself on the back and he's like, I'm the all powerful Vince McMahon. Just admit it.
I think he does.
I don't think he does. You want to talk weird? Let's talk about a SmackDown appearance.
Yeah, it was quite interesting.
I haven't actually seen that yet, which I'm actually kind of looking forward to going to watch after this.
So
was it that bizarre?
Yeah, it's really fucking strange, dude. He's like not slurring his words, but he just sounds so decrepit, dude. Like, I don't want to see Vince McMahon like that. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
It's he came out and he was trying to bury Triple H, but like joking around doing it. And I think Triple H was just laughing more to help him get his like jokes across. I don't know. It was just really weird. Like, I didn't think it was all that funny, to be honest with you.
So was it just Vince? Were there other people?
Well, the gimmick was it was supposed to be Triple H's.
Like, was it kind of like a roast or what?
Yeah, well, it was kind of like nobody was there except for Shawn Michaels, and they were keeping their social distance and all this other nonsense. And then, like, Triple H started making fun of Stephanie, so Stephanie calls Triple H on the phone. Shawn Michaels is making fun of Stephanie, so Stephanie calls Triple H, and she's like, you know, you can tell him, like, I'm watching this. I can see him on TV. Like, I know that he's talking about me. And then she's, didn't she call him, she called him wonky-eyed or some shit? And that really floored me. She started making fun of Shawn Michaels' eye, which was fucking great. And then And then the Road Dogg called in, and a couple other people called in too, but it was mostly like Shawn Michaels put together like a best of like Triple H at WrestleMania, and it was all his losses. Like they showed him losing to the Warrior, and like then they were showing like losses of his like from like SmackDown and other pay per views and shit.
You can't get away with showing too many Triple H losses at WrestleMania because there's only like two of them.
No, dude, he lost a lot at WrestleMania. He lost to Undertaker like three times. He lost.
Oh, that doesn't count.
He lost to Ronda Rousey and Kurt Angle.
Doesn't count.
Bunch at WrestleMania.
What do you mean that doesn't count? He fucking lost. It's a loss. He can't fucking lost.
He lost when it doesn't matter. He won when it mattered to other people. You know what I mean? Like
Kevin doesn't
talk to Booker T about Triple H at WrestleMania.
That's Kevin. Tony's been on that soapbox since we started. That's one of the biggest injustices in Tony's eyes. Booker T should have beat him at WrestleMania.
He should have, but that's not taking.
I agree.
Triple H lost a shit ton at WrestleMania. It doesn't matter whether it was worth it or not.
I mean,
twice at WrestleMania.
We're talking about CEO. We're talking about CEO Triple H at this point.
COO.
Whatever.
You should know that, corporate Kevin.
He gave us two weeks.
I told you. I put in my notice.
And he didn't even fucking watch SmackDown. That's how fucking invested he is in that dog shit.
Dude, I was in bed at 9 o'clock on Friday night. I was so tired. I literally was in bed by 9 o'clock on Friday.
I liked how they put up 25 years of Triple H on their social media, and the first pedigree he did, the first two were from WCW.
Well, the first one he did in WWE was fucking awful. He almost paralyzed some kid. Do you remember that one?
That's what the job guys are for.
What was worse, that pedigree or the fucking head rammer jammer thing that the Beverly Brothers did to that fucking poor jobber? Did you see that shit?
How is that all of a sudden getting all this attention? That's been a thing for a long time.
Yeah, but all of a sudden it's back again. How great is that?
But it's been back. I don't understand. Like how all of a sudden, like Bo and Blake are getting the heat for this now. All of a sudden,
who was it? It was Mike Enos just grabbed him by the hair and fucking just yanked him to the mat, face first. Fucking great.
Yeah, Wayne Bloom and Mike Enos.
So fucking good. So fucking good.
It's making the rounds again because people have fucking nothing but time on their hands. So they find this shit, and somebody who never sees it before puts it out there, and then everyone that's seen it was like, oh, this is awesome.
You're 100% right. But I'm seeing like these people that like I'm seeing like wrestlers post this. I'm like, how have you not seen this? Like how is this the first time you're seeing this when it's been a viral thing for 10 years now? Well, not
Kevin,
10 years, but you know what I mean?
I don't want to shit on Matt's crew, but there's members of his crew who didn't know who Techno Team 2000 was.
Oh, no. You can shit on them.
You didn't know who Techno Team 2000 was.
Who?
Oh, me?
No, Matt.
Oh, Matt didn't either.
Look, I knew that it was fucking Eric Watts and some other hand job. Just because I didn't know who fucking Chad Fortune was does not make me the worst person in the world. All right, Danny Rusinello doesn't know who fucking Men on a Mission is. He didn't know who High Energy was last week. Yeah. I'll throw Danny right under their bus. He needs to up his game. He needs to stop watching fucking WWE from 2009. Get back in the Wayback Machine and watch some shit on the network. Come on, Kevin, he didn't know who High Energy was.
Oh, listen, I'm with you. I'm with you, buddy.
Try and throw me under the bus, Kevin. You motherfucker.
God, that fucking...
Wait, first of all, I didn't hear that. I didn't hear that he didn't know who High Energy was. I heard you say that you didn't know who Eric Watts' partner was. And I just remember Chad Fortune. Come on! It's not like he was like a noob. But no, listen, you're right. Your D-Generation Y's got to step up their game. Especially when they're in the ring with you, buddy.
That's right. Rumor around the office is that Vince is losing his mind, which is why
Think?
Which is why that promo came out the way it did. you know, coronavirus hits, you have to fire all these people, there's no WrestleMania Live, you lose a shitload of money there, the XFL folds, then someone's suing you for the XFL, and then one of your employees...
Tony's suing them too, don't forget that, Tony's suing them.
Yeah, and then one of your employees goes and says that it's an unsafe work environment, and he can't go to anyone and tell him that because he's afraid he'll get fired.
Okay, all right. Let's dial that one back real quick. Do you think that this is somebody within the WWE infrastructure, or do you think this is some handjob fan that's trying to fucking pull a fast one to get a rise out of people? What do you think?
I didn't really think otherwise until you just said that, but now that you say that, it would not surprise me that some crazed fan would say some wild shit like this.
See, that's the thing, because they're in Florida, and we know they've had issues with fans in Florida to begin with. You know, they had that fucking guy that was trying to, like, meet up with the women and try to shoot somebody, showed up with a gun and all that shit. But it's also Florida. There's always crazy shit happening, like, 4,000 times a day. And plus, there was the whole debacle whether or not WWE was essential and all this and that. So, yes, I can completely see somebody going to the county department and going, hey, this isn't right. You should look into this. I can also see somebody absolutely going, let's fuck with Vince McMahon. Not even somebody from another promotion, just some fucking rum-dum, by the way, going like, yeah, let's fuck with Vince and let's just say like that these awful things are fucking happening and maybe we can get it shut down. Who knows?
What,
I don't know how to think about this one way or another, to be honest with you.
But wasn't this lawsuit, not lawsuit, but wasn't this like done by an employee that's still there?
Well, that's what was said, but it's all anonymous, so you don't know for sure.
I mean, that part of it has to be kind of factual, no or no?
Unless they're really afraid of losing their job and they don't submit any of their information. You know, when you call in for like a missing persons or, you know, like to report a crime, you know, like Crime Stoppers and shit like that, they won't even fucking take your name half the time. They'll just be like, okay, thank you. We'll look into it.
Hey, is this Crime Stoppers?
Yes, can we help you?
Okay, brother. She fell in the bathtub. Pushed her. Something, brother. Superfly. You might want to get that checked out. It's at a hotel in Allentown.
I'm sorry, sir. She fell in the shower, so she was not wearing her shower snookers?
Yes, brother. She's at a hotel in Allentown, brother. This is not the Superfly, brother.
All right. Well, I don't know. I don't know how to handle that. We have to call. I have to call my superior and have him come in. He might have a briefcase with him.
Yeah, maybe he had a fucking truck full of cigarettes.
Hey, did you guys happen to? Did you see the After Dark after the Jimmy Snuka episode? I haven't watched it yet. Is it any good?
It's very good.
I only know Greg Valentine's in it. That's true, right?
Greg Valentine, Brian Knobs, and then the reporter who reported on the situation.
That's not that Bixman guy, is it?
No.
No, it was the guy that wrote that. Okay, I know who you're talking about. Yeah, because I did.
And then
the glasses and stuff. Yeah.
A guy that wrote the book. So I haven't texted Gethard about this, but I want to ask him. That Superfly one was very controversial because Valentine said this wasn't the first time Vince bailed him out of trouble.
And there was no follow-up to this? Like, this didn't make the rounds anywhere? Because I didn't hear shit about that.
Well, there was no After Dark after the Dino episode last week. It's going to air. It's going to air this week, and it was I guess it was pre-taped, and then they edited it to make sure. Like, Gethard comes out hot, and he's like, you know, are you surprised about this? And Valentine's like, you know, once there was a problem with Snuka at the airport, and Vince had to go bail him out. And Gethard's like, and then, like, it goes to Knobs, and then it comes back to Gethard, and he's like, can you tell us about, like, I've never heard about this other situation.
Yeah, and, like, he didn't follow up with anything else. So I'm going to have to fucking watch this. Dude. I was wondering why Dino Bravo didn't pop up in my DVR. I was wondering why that didn't happen.
Like, the show or the After Dark?
Oh, the after show.
The After Dark will be tomorrow at 9:30 before the Dr. D episode.
I think that was a, I think that was a scheduling thing by Vice, because they have like the news that comes on immediately after Dark Side of the Ring. There's like the,
yeah, but the
BBC
past couple,
news.
But the past couple of weeks, they've been going right together with After Dark.
No, they haven't.
Yeah, they have.
Yeah, they have.
After, no, it's After Dark, and then it's like from, what is it? It's 9 to 10, and then 10, or no, it's 10 to 11. 11 is like the news. It's like this weird Viceland news that this British dude hosts. I'm telling you. And then maybe after that, it's Gethard.
Well, whatever it was, there was no After Dark this week.
Right.
Because of what Valentine said last week.
Oh, maybe that's why. But I know that Gethard has not been on. Maybe it is just this past week. I watched the Dino Bravo one live. Usually I watch the replay. I watched the Dino Bravo one as aired, and it went right to like some Vice news or something like that.
But the Dino After Dark is going to air tomorrow night at 9:30 before the Dr. D episode.
I don't know if you guys are aware, but Conrad Thompson's been interviewing the directors, and it's part of Jim Ross's Grill and JR feed for podcasts, and it's actually pretty interesting. He gets pretty in depth with like trying to follow up with like guests and whatnot. Like he talked about like meeting New Jack. He talked about getting together with Jacques Rougeau. There's a great story where when they were getting ready to interview Jacques, somebody was mowing their lawn across the street. So Jacques goes, "Don't worry, I'll take care of it." And he went and he talked to the guy, and the guy stopped mowing his lawn and went back in his house. He goes, "Okay, let's continue."
I feel like Jacques Rougeau is a crazy person nowadays.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
What did you guys think of the Dino episode?
I loved it.
I mean, I liked it. It was just one of those, it's one of those dark sides where like you kind of know everything already. So there was no really like new information that kind of went out there. Whereas like my favorite one of this whole season two was the Brawl for All, because there was so much stuff that I had no clue about. But you know, you kind of knew what was about Superfly, other than a few like details. You kind of knew everything. But this one, it was good. I wanted more information, but the thing is though, there was no more information than we already knew.
Well, I think the big thing was the fact that a couple of days later they wound up finding money in the house. You know, they found the briefcase, found the cigarettes and all that stuff. So,
yeah, and you're right. I will say this: the whole the Native American thing, that I didn't know about. So there was that. Like, you know what I'm saying?
The other strange.
He was involved with like the tribes or whatever that wanted to get involved in it. And they wouldn't really put a hit out on somebody, but they might hire somebody to do it themselves.
Well, there were two things. One, he brings his kid with him to go visit the natives to make these deals, which is really fucked up when you think about it. But the other thing is there was somebody from the crime family that was into coke that wanted to get in on it, but the guy never went to go make the drop, and it turned out that the feds busted the drop. So then that's what fucking led to his murder. It was like a lot of fucking like weird, crazy shit like that. And plus, in listening to the interviews with the directors, the guys that put it together, it took a lot for them to be able to speak to the wife, because she was in, and then at the last minute, she didn't want to do it anymore. So they wound up going out to dinner with her. And I forget who it was. It might have been the detective that was involved. He actually spoke English as well. He became like the liaison and the interviewer between the guys and his wife and his daughter. So then like over dinner, they got more comfortable with them. And then like she's like, okay, I'll wind up doing it, but I don't want to talk about this, that, and the other thing. Which is why you really didn't get a lot in terms of a casket. And dude, they had an open casket after he was shot like 17 times. That's fucked up. That's really fucked up. And the daughter said the only way she recognized it was her father, or that she knew it was her father, because he had big hands. That's fucking crazy, dude. That's some crazy details that I had no fucking idea about.
I wish they could have got Martell for it.
Yeah, that was another one.
Because that little bit that they showed, I was like, holy shit, I gotta find that shoot interview.
And you know, I had watched it. That's on YouTube somewhere. I had watched that part of it when he was talking about Dino Bravo a while ago. But yeah, That's some weird shit. Like, he completely, like, has, like, disavowed the business. They even talked about how they tried reaching out to him, not only through other people, but they also tried reaching out to him directly, and he was just like, look, he's like, not for anything. I don't want anything to do with it. I'm done. I'm done with the business. I don't want to talk about anything.
I'm excited for Dr. D next week.
I'm looking forward to that one. The one that I really want to see, though, is the UWF with Herb Abrams. That's going to be a fucking story, dude. That's going to be a story.
Yeah, I think they're hitting a home run with this shit. I'm sorry, I'm getting like an echo in my headphones, so I have to take my headphones off.
I think it's you fucking burping, dude.
Yeah, I'm a burping machine. Before we pull this train to the station, NWA finally had somewhat of a show, some kind of semblance of normalcy on Tuesday night.
Great way to end the show. I like this.
And it was all based around Camille finally talking. And it's kind of where they left us off before the whole coronavirus and all this shit. So this was a sneak preview of the superpower, right? That's what they're calling it?
Yeah, it's usually the only difference between a power and a superpower is typically it's a lead into a pay-per-view, but just for the most part, it's like a 90-minute show instead of like a 60 or 55-minute show. So a little extra bonus shit for you.
And they did a great job presenting it. It was all about Camille, but they sprinkled in Nick Aldis, why he brought Camille in. They recap his match against Marty. They recap his match against PJ Black from ROH.
The Tim Storm match from Power.
The Tim Storm stuff. They show a dark match where Camille defeated Maddie Max.
Yes.
And then they do this awesome video package with Camille narrating it, but you don't actually see her speak until the very last 15 seconds of the video. A fucking home run, man.
Do you know how sometimes like you'll hear voices on the radio and then you actually like see the person and you're like, that voice kind of doesn't go with that face? Did you feel that Camille's voice with like her southern accent, like did you feel like it went with like what we've seen week after week?
Yes, I did.
Really?
Because she comes off as like the character that she plays, she comes off like a southern belle who's a little arrogant and she knows she's better than you.
So I thought she always came off more like a China. Like, you know, like lets her like actions do the talking, like a little tougher. And I'm not saying she would have had like a China-esque kind of voice, but it was just like, now look, I've heard Camille speak before, quote unquote, you know what I'm saying? She does have like a YouTube channel where she does stuff, so cat's out of the bag. But for kayfabe purposes, I don't know, man. Like if I was watching that for the first time, I wouldn't think it would necessarily fit, but you said it did. So.
Well, for me, it fit. I don't know what it did for everybody else. And it just shows you to how devoted she was to her character. Like you go back and you watch all those instances where she got face to face with Tim Storm, and you know how like when you get face to face with somebody in a wrestling ring, you're like, come on, like she was just doing the head thing like I'm doing now. Her fucking lips weren't moving, she wasn't speaking at all.
Yeah, but she was screaming during one of the matches that they recapped. I forget which one it was, but she was in
the
middle
against Tim Storm where she got fucking clotheslined.
No. It was when she was going to get involved with something and Nick Aldis stopped her and told her to go to the back, that he wanted her to go to the back. And she was like screaming at him. And he's like, no, you have to go. You have to leave. And like he pointed her to the back and she just fucking stormed off in a huff.
It was a nice.
Oh, fantastic. I loved it.
It was great.
I'm all in with the NWA Power. I love that shit.
It was a great preview for the NWA Power. That's going to air in May, so I'm looking forward to it whenever it comes, man. NWA is still, I know they've been kind of mums the word and they've been keeping themselves relevant. I know they did the Crockett Cup from like 2 years ago or last year they showed it. They've been putting out a ton of free content on YouTube every Tuesday night, so they're still staying relevant. But man, when they can start pumping out those shows again, there's just so much, like the whole, El Fantasmo put up, like, Ring of Honor paid him for a spot at that 18th anniversary show, because he was supposed to be involved in that, which was going to lead to a match at Supercard of Honor. Like, he's been paid for all that. And you got to remember the NWA-ROH relationship and where that Marty-Nick Aldis match was going. Like, I can't wait for NWA to come back so we can, like, see the direction of all this. It's a very exciting time.
I can't wait for King Mo to win the MLW World Heavyweight Championship.
Oh, fuck. You're a fucking idiot.
I can't wait to have the man down the stairs match at Matt's house. I can't wait to have Matt wrestle Jimmy Havoc at Progress Wrestling. There's a lot I learned today, an awful lot that I learned today. Hope you learned something, too.
I can't wait to have people at my house again.
I know.
Oh, boy.
Word going around is we only got a couple more weeks before they start rolling things back, you know, a little bit at a time. So maybe sooner rather than later, hopefully.
You know, it's not sooner than later.
What's that?
Picks next week, bitch!
Oh, no. No, picks are done, dude.
No!
I will advocate my fucking lead. I don't give a fuck. I'm not doing this. No, fuck it. What are we picking? We're picking Money in the Bank?
Yeah, we're picking Money in the Bank.
Pick this right here. Fucking pick my fucking bank, my fucking coin purse. How about you pick that money?
Tony, did you just say you'll advocate your league? Your league?
Advocate. Not advocate. I'm not pushing for my league. I wanted to go away.
Now the fans want picks.
Yeah, thanks, Kate. Thanks for throwing me under the bus. Fuck it. These people are so cruel to me.
You're in the fucking lead. Shut your mouth.
Do you understand? Like, I'm winning because I don't want to do this. Like, I'm doing this to prove a point how fucking dog shit this is. How the guy who came in last fucking 4 months ago is running away with this fucking thing.
Oh, you ain't running away with shit, son. I'm three games behind you.
I'm the fucking champ, bro. You can't do shit. You see what this means? This means I'm the best. Give me air.
Oh, you have a belt that hasn't been relevant in 20 fucking years?
That's right, because I'm going to go watch the Jimmy Havoc match. I'm going to give Jimmy Havoc the belt when he beats your ass.
Hell yeah!
That's right.
Fuck out of here.
Fuck your hand. Jesus Christ, dude. Go fucking empty yourself out.
I will, when the show is over.
Maybe if you let your wife poke your pooper a little bit, you'd fucking get all that gas out of you. You'd feel better.
I'm not letting my wife touch my butthole.
Well, yes, you are. I'm going to text her right now.
Go ahead. Hey. She's going to say the same thing. No.
Hey, Matt is feeling very randy right now.
Tony, please do that, by the way.
She just wrote me back. She said she's going downstairs to get the Vaseline.
Where is she going?
Downstairs to get the Vaseline.
It's funny because she's not up here.
No, she's going in the basement. She's got to.
Why would we keep Vaseline in the basement?
Well, where else would you keep your Vaseline?
In the bathroom, stupid.
No, you got to keep it in the dungeon, bro. I know what goes on in that basement. Don't you fucking really... I hope you shit your fucking microphone and your pants.
He did. Fucking. He did. He did.
I did not shit my drawers.
Thanks to everybody that joined us in the chat on Hot Mic tonight. Thanks to everybody at the Shining Wizards Network. All of our great shows. You know who you are, and if you don't, well, I don't know. Shining Wizards
Network. That means you're not great.
Huh?
If you don't know who you are, that means you're not great.
Yeah. We got some good shows over there. We got some new shows. Yeah, maybe. New content. A couple of shows kind of forgot that they're supposed to do shows every week, but we won't hold that against them.
It's quarantine, bro.
We're doing a show every... We're doing like two shows a week between us and D-Generation Y and all this. Come on, bro.
I understand, bro. Some people are more dedicated than others.
Can I say that we have some interesting stuff coming up aside from this fucking gargantuanly awful fucking pick thing that we're doing? Yeah.
Yes.
That's the face of a man who's getting some peggings tonight.
A what?
You get. I'm gonna call you. I'm gonna call you Mrs. Bundy because you're peg.
That was not that good. It's not that good.
I know. It's fucking terrible. I'm fucking tired. And now Kevin's back. Hey, Kev, what's going on?
I don't know. You tell me, buddy.
That's all right. I put your give up where you're pointing at the camera, so this way people think you're live anyway. So it's all good.
I don't know what's going on.
I would tell people to check out Pro Wrestling Crate. It's an excellent, excellent investment. I got this month's crate. The theme was America. I have this excellent Dusty Rhodes t-shirt on. And I got a Kurt Angle You Suck t-shirt.
Did you happen to get a micro brawler from one of my boys?
I got a micro brawler of Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
Jim!
So are you in? Do you get them every month?
I just signed up last month, so I have already been confirmed for May. So I might get those micro ballers, Kevin.
All right, we'll talk.
Oh, we will, Kevin. We will talk.
Don't forget.
I can't commit to the crates. That's why.
ProWrestlingTees.com/ShiningWizards. If also, while you're buying one of our shirts, you want to support Matt's favorite MLW wrestler, Dominic Guarini, he's got shirts on there too. I'm sure King Mo has a shirt there somewhere.
Fuck King Mo. Ooh. Fuck Kevin After Dark over there. Look out.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Hot Dog himself. All right, we got.
We still on the hot mic?
I got closing music. Hold
on. You got closing music?
Yeah, I think we're going to go with this one to end the show from now on because I kind of like it. Let me see if I can find
it. Wait, the same song every week?
Yeah, because it's a cool song. It's a song I wanted to play last week that you didn't hear. Oh,
God.
You hear it?
Is it a farting song?
Yeah. You don't like it? It's catchy, isn't it?
I can't wait till we start having real guests again and they hear this.
Alright, I'm done. Good night, everybody. Thanks
good night.
For
Thanks for tuning good in. Night. Stay home. Stay safe, you fucking losers.
Don't forget AEW Dynamite coverage next week from Matt Degeneration Y. And we got some more good shit coming, so stay tuned, pay attention, and thanks for watching. Dun, 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 dun.